6:08 in the morning, and welcome to 2016. Happy New Year, everybody. And on this January 4th, please remember to date your checks to me accordingly. I think it's about time we get paid to do this show from the listeners. Everything in the new media world is a new business model. Everybody's getting paid for content. So I think it's time the listeners send all of us checks.
Maybe there should just be an app, and it could be like direct deposit.
I like that. I like that. You know what? I am your PayPal.
You are our app.
Before we get to Paul Conrad, I want to thank everybody who came out to the New Year's Eve shows in Crystal Lake. Had just a great, great time. And Rocky Laporte is funnier than ever.
He is out of control.
I just can't say his name without giggling.
I laughed so hard when he just attacked that poor heckler Lynn in the first show.
Yeah, an attack for Rocky is very gentle, but look. Rocky's tremendous. Kev did a great job. Only the second time Kev's ever done stand-up.
It was a lot of fun.
He was very, very calm the whole time. Didn't sweat at all. And we rewarded him with a buffet.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards.
A serious buffet.
And then DeCoste was great. And I didn't scare anybody. I was fine. So we had two great shows. Great shows. So thanks to everybody in Crystal Lake and at the Rouse Center. And we have some big plans for 2016. In regards to stand-up and doing live shows and more of these talk shows at night, which I've come up with a name for. Steve Cochran, Late Night to Me.
Oh,
they'll start around 7.
That is late.
Yeah, that'll be nice. But let me get to our friend Paul Conrad, who is standing by at Channel 9 as soon as I figure out which of these fancy buttons he's on. Where's Paul? Yeah, I don't see a weather button anymore. Did somebody change the tape? Here we go. Good morning, Paul.
Hello.
Boy,
how are you?
Somebody was relabeling.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy. What'd you do New Year's Eve?
I sat with my family and stared at a TV set.
Did you watch New Year's Rockin' Eve?
No, I watched that windy...
Oh, Chi-Town Rising?
Yeah, Chi-Town Rising. What a piece
of
crap.
Oh, my God.
That was Channel 5, right?
You know what? I thought of both of you because you guys would be great MCs for that. I know NBC sponsored it, but to bring in Mario Lopez...
That was one of the worst shows I've seen in a long time.
I got to say something. Mark Giangreco has been a friend of mine for a very long time.
Yeah.
Mark needs to be arrested.
Yeah, he should be
because
arrested.
What Mark did to Janet Davies on live TV is illegal in every state in America.
Right.
The assault?
I am advocating for an arrest of Mark Giangreco.
All right, I'm going to sign the affidavit with you.
I want Mark taken into custody immediately today, and I don't believe any bail is high enough.
You know, that made the news in Australia, too.
Really?
Well, it's rare.
Yeah, I'm going to send you guys that tweet.
Oh, yeah, you were in Orlando.
I was in Tampa.
Oh, Tampa.
So
yeah.
Just hearing this description has perked my curiosity.
Look, you know Giangreco.
Don't say perk.
Look, you've been friends with Giangreco forever. Giangreco is one of my great friends in life. I love Mark.
But
he needs to be taken into custody.
He lacks discretion. Coming from me, the voice of the
Paul.
Yeah, isn't that true? But here's the thing. Mark and Janet have done this inexplicable New Year's Eve show forever. And you just wonder at some point, who's got pictures of Giangreco that's making them work every New Year's Eve? Because somebody's got pictures.
Right. It doesn't seem right.
No, it really doesn't. So they're doing their New Year's Eve thing, and they love each other, and they're having a lot of fun, and it's all good. But then inexplicably at midnight, instead of the traditional kiss, he reaches over, and in an attempt to grab her face, sort of grabs her neck.
Yeah.
And then pulls her closer and licks her face.
Yeah, from like the bottom of her neck all the way up to above her ear.
That's a long
and
lick.
Let me tell you something, fellas. Lick. The ladies love a good
lick. I know. Yeah, try that on the train this morning.
Man.
All right, careful.
Yeah.
Your wife or your girlfriend. Yeah. Oh,
the lady on the bus next
really
to you.
Really like that.
Yeah,
the love
bus
it.
Next
to what are you, a schnauzer? What is he doing?
Maybe it's retribution from, remember a few years ago, she grabbed him and planted a big smooch on his lips.
Well, I don't think he minds the kiss.
They're
going to
have a big throwdown next year.
Throwdown.
But she took it very, very well, at least apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Here's the thing. Paul and I, because you're a friend of Giangreco's.
Yeah, I like the guy.
You and I will bail Mark out. We're just saying Mark deserves to be arrested.
Right.
We will put up bail for him.
There has to be a consequence. If there's no consequences anymore, we're not in a just society.
We can't have people doing this.
No.
Well, you want to watch Channel 9 News tonight at 9 and Sapelsa turns around and licks Skilling on the side of the head?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that.
Well,
a few.
Oh, maybe.
Few
I would kind of actually be interested in seeing that.
That would be actually interesting. You're right. You're completely right about that.
But generally, I'm with you on this.
All right. Any predictions for the new year?
None. I've learned my lesson.
Well, what lesson is that?
Don't make any predictions.
Oh, that's the lesson.
Yep. Don't make any.
Hey, we had fun on TV the other day.
Oh, it was nice to have you in.
Yeah. Now, I'd have to say one thing. Paul, and Paul Conrad's one of my best friends in the world. I like him way better than Gian Greco.
Likewise. Yeah.
And Paul's never licked me.
No. I did give you a couple of kisses.
Yeah, you did. So Paul and Dean and I and DeCosta were on. We're plugging in New Year's Eve show.
How'd that go, by the way?
Great.
All right.
Yeah, great time. Yeah. And so we do the show. They're the TV hit. And we finish, and I'm talking to Dean casually in the hallway. And apparently there was a fire at Paul Conrad's house.
Yes.
Because he was out the door like you wouldn't believe. Was everyone okay?
I was out the door before the show ended.
Yeah, well, you were out the door before the segment ended.
Yeah.
Was a real fire or like an excuse, like I want to leave so bad that I'll make this up?
It had
to
be a fire.
Between you and me, it was a real fire.
Oh.
I just had to get the hell out of there.
He was moving. Was there trouble at home?
Oh, yeah. It was a... There was my oven caught on fire, and my cat happened to be inside of it.
Ah, you don't
and,
want that.
And so I had to rush home and put her in the tub, and it caught my drapes on fire. And
yeah,
the
you
whole
don't want that.
Thing was a
crazy.
Big mess. I'm filing the insurance forms today, in fact.
Right, right, with Flo from Progressive.
That is right. She's coming over for some coffee.
Yeah, which is
so
great.
Yeah, it was a serious situation, which is why I had... Otherwise, I usually stick around for another hour or two after the show.
Well, I don't care about the other people at Channel 9. I just thought you and I would be able to hang out, maybe go to the park, have a picnic. And I turned around, and I wasn't even sure it was Paul because he clipped me on the way out the door.
I also hit your car in the parking lot, which I apologize for.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll give you my insurance lady's name.
Apparently
name
somebody at Channel 9 wanted to have a meeting.
Yeah.
But thank you for the plug.
Oh, that was great. You guys, it was good to have you on.
Helped. And I'm looking forward to a big 2016. Do you have one hope for the new year?
No, you know, I really don't. If I can make it through today, that's enough for me because that's the kind of man I am. I'm living for today because tomorrow may not ever happen.
Get my lighter. Hold on.
I'm going to start smoking.
I do. I endorse this every year, but I do encourage people to make resolutions they can keep.
Right. Smoking.
Smoke, swear more.
Dancing awkwardly.
Dance awkwardly. Lie a little bit extra.
I'm going to try to streak twice this year.
Yes.
I only did it once last year. I'm going to try to add in an extra winter version.
Yeah. All of those are highlights for the community.
Yeah. Right, I do that out of town because I'm afraid it'll get in the papers.
Well, I love you. Happy New Year.
I love you, too.
And here's the thing that if I could just add one other tip for you guys at Channel 9.
Fine, yeah.
I got a big monitor here in the studio where we have the Channel 9 morning news on all morning. And in the first 15 minutes of the show, I've seen 6 cat videos. Could we turn the page? It's a new year.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll have a bacon story and then a bear story. We don't like to be predictable.
All right.
Well, all right. I love you. I'll see you when I get home.
All right. Bye-bye here, Schnooky. And later on, Paul Conrad and I will bail out Mark Giangreco for licking Janet Davies. And if you don't understand that sentence, I don't have time to re-explain it to you.
It was bizarre.
Is it available on YouTube?
Oh, it's available on all of your internets.
It literally made a blooper reel in Australia.
And it's one of those things.
Kicker.
It's one of those things where no matter how much hooch Giangreco had during the course of the night, you know the minute he did it, he went, this is a horrible, horrible mistake that I'm going to regret for the rest of my life.
We should get him on today.
Was there any champagne involved?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Yeah. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, there's got to be an excuse somewhere.
Yeah, so, but I'll tell you, we'll get Giangreco on this week, to be sure, unless his attorneys have told him not to talk.
Did a lot of people turn out for the event on Michigan Avenue around here?
They had a couple thousand people. I don't think it was packed, but Wacker Drive was actually packed. And I have to say they did
Which
their...
Which building did they put it on?
They put it on the Hyatt, right? Behind. Which, strangely, they took it down 2 days later.
So the Star went up the side of the Hyatt.
Yeah, they had a lot of issues. The Star went up the side of the Hyatt, but they started rising the Star in Chi-Town, which no one calls it, by the way. But they started raising the Star at about 30 seconds before midnight. So Chicago was still performing.
Was it timed out?
No. Oh. They didn't get to midnight until about 12:01.
Was there a cityscape on the river that was on fire at that point?
No. But I have to commend their fireworks display over the river was very good. Too short, but good.
I heard from people who were downtown who maybe they were loaded, but they said it was great. Maybe the TV show was bad.
Yeah, the TV portion might. But the timing was off, and I still don't get the Mario Lopez connection. Has he ever been to Chicago? Yeah, I mean, well, is there a Chicago tie there?
Well, it's ridiculous. Like, there's no talent in town. Come on, stop it.
Right.
I'd rather see Dick Johnson in Chi-Town Rising. And I like Dick, too.
I do, too, yeah.
Oh, like, that's not going to end up on out of context.
Right.
What a terrible mistake that was. Mm-hmm. And by the way, in case you're wondering, Abigail Grace Cochran is great, and she's 2.5 weeks old now.
Oh, yeah. How was the holidays with the baby?
Great. Great. Yeah. That kid can sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She's a better sleeper than anybody.
Thank God.
Yeah. She does all the baby things really well.
Mm-hmm. Cry.
No, that's me.
Spit up.
Yeah. And she's very mellow. She's cool. She's laid back. You know, a little manipulative, but who on your team isn't?
You know what? Don't be starting it on her yet. Give her another week.
She can manipulate me anytime. That's my kid. The Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients as a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care, all at an affordable price. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's MWUClinics.com or 630-743-4500 for the Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic. It's your family's home for healthcare.
Being a part of both teams and being a starter on both of these teams last year and this year, 2 years ago and this past year, I can tell you that this is a different team this time around. Although the record doesn't reflect that, and I've said that a million times, I'll go to fight with this group any day of the week.
That's Kyle Long as we bring in Adam Hogue. Live from Channel 9, where I'll do TV here in a few minutes. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Come here. I just want to give Adam a hug for getting through a bear season.
Yes.
There you go, buddy. All right, get off my lap.
Wait, he was on the sideline for the bowl game, too, on Friday.
That wasn't easy, either. That was not easy.
He had a rough weekend.
Yeah, last week wasn't very hard.
No lick for Adam.
And Mark Giangreco tried to lick his face. That's exactly right. All right, so let's start with those Bears. And, I totally agree. It feels better. It looks better. There's potential to be better. But, man, that's a weak end to the season. I don't know what that was.
Well, I mean, did you see the wide receivers that took the field at the beginning of the game? I mean, I actually went back and had to check the fourth preseason game, the one where they play all the people they're going to cut. And There were guys that started the game yesterday that weren't even starters in that game. They came off the bench.
So what is the explanation?
Well, guys are hurt. I mean, that's the story of the season. I really think yesterday was a microcosm of the season. John Fox said the same thing. I mean, they were banged up roster, depleted roster. They still go out there. They fight pretty hard. I mean, it's not like effort was an issue yesterday. And then they lose in a close game at home. And that's really how it's been all year. I think it's understandably painful for Bears fans to watch. But you listen to Kyle Long, you listen to everybody in that locker room, they tell you the same thing. They really do not think they're too far away. And I tend to agree with them. If they can have another offseason like they did last year, they're going to be in games again next year. And once they learn how to win those games and they're close, they're going to be in the playoffs.
But you got a personnel problem because you need about a third of this roster to turn over in the offseason, as most NFL teams do, and you got to replace it with better players.
Yeah, and you know what? The bigger priority, as much as we want to talk about Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffrey, Adam Gase, Vic Fangio, what's happening with them? That's the number one thing. It starts really tomorrow, if not today. I mean, Adam Gase will be in the building today, but he's reportedly going to meet with the Eagles, the Browns, and the Dolphins this week, and he might very well not be with the Bears by the end of this week. That's a very real possibility. And then once again, you got to go find Jay Cutler, a new coordinator, his sixth in his time with the Bears. So that's a huge storyline in this offseason. You look at last offseason, I think the biggest improvement they made was in the coaching staff. So are they going to lose those guys? That's something that you have to seriously consider as something that could hold them back from making a better run next year.
The idea that the offensive coordinator made such a splash this year that he's head coaching ready is interesting to me. It just goes to show, I think, that buzz in the NFL means everything, because even though the Bears were improved, they weren't the number one offense in the league, and yet, am I wrong about this? He's top three talked about for a head job now.
Yeah, and he was last year, too. I think what's interesting here is, and this is actually a good thing, what a guy is as a coordinator, the way he coordinates an offense or coordinates a defense isn't necessarily the best qualification for being a head coach. The head coach needs to be able to lead men and get a locker room together. And
like
command.
Mark Trestman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And command. Well, that's a perfect example of the opposite, right? So here he is as a great offensive coordinator, great reputation, as a guy who can put together a fancy offense and put up high-scoring points, but he couldn't command a locker room. So that's really what's more important. And that's why I think that despite average numbers this year for the Bears offense and Bears defense, both Adam Gase and Vic Fangio are in the conversation as head coaching candidates because you hear what the players are saying, that they really will go and play hard for these coaches up and down the coaching roster. And I think that that's why they're in the mix for head coaching jobs. And I think both of them have a decent chance to be okay head coaches.
We now know the Bears' opponents for next year outside the NFC North, and both home and away. And it's, I guess you look at them and you think, okay, there's some pretty easy teams on there. But teams are going to change between now and the time those teams come into Soldier Field or the Bears go to see them next year. 11th pick in the draft. Is that right, Adam? And also Ryan Pace, I guess, is going to speak to the media today at Hallis Hall. What do we expect to hear from him?
Well, let's start with the draft. By losing yesterday, even if it was ugly, that might have been the most beneficial interception Jay Cutler's ever thrown in his career, that third one, because the Bears will hold the 11th pick instead of the 16th pick. That's five spots better. I completely agree with the idea that you need to learn how to win games, and maybe that carries some momentum in the offseason, but let's be honest. Five spots in the first round of the NFL draft is more valuable than beating the Lions in a meaningless Week 17 game. Coming out and trying to win, I agree with. It's not like you should tank, but the end result does help the Bears. In terms of what Ryan Pace will say today, it'll be very interesting. This guy hasn't talked to us since training camp, since the Kevin White press conference in Bourbonnais when he announced that Kevin White was going to have surgery and there's a realistic chance he was going to miss the entire season, which he ended up doing. But so obviously the questions are going to be about Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffrey. They're probably not going to give us answers, but sometimes you can read between the lines and how they respond to some of these questions and their evaluation of players and get a good idea for what they're thinking here.
Because Alshon Jeffrey appears to be tissue paper at times, is there any chance he wouldn't be on this team next year?
I guess there would be a chance, but they drafted Kevin White to be the other guy across from Alshon Jeffrey, and I just can't see them letting him go without taking a look at what it looks like with both of those guys on the field together. And so, plus you look at what this offense looked like when Alshon wasn't out there. To me, that's worth the $14 or $15 million it's going to cost you to franchise tag him and to bring him back for one more year. So I would be shocked if he's not part of the Bears. But, look, these guys have proven that if you're not a good fit, if you can't stay on the field, you might not be on this team. So that's something to keep in mind. But I ultimately do think that he'll be brought back, and I think that's the right call.
Well, the Fox guys were talking yesterday about a dream scenario for the Bears where Calvin Johnson ends up in a Bears uniform next year.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of cap space, but
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Maybe he'll end up being let go by Detroit, but even that seems like why would you let this guy go? But I know it's a cap issue.
It's a cap issue, and he's getting paid a ton of money next year, but still, he's Calvin Johnson. I think he showed you yesterday that he's still pretty darn good. And by the way, with the schedule for next year, it is worth pointing out that the NFC North matches up against the AFC South and the NFC East, which were the two worst divisions in football this year. But, Dave, as you mentioned, teams flip over, they get better, and also the rest of the division gets to play those teams too. So you still got to go out there and win the games and more importantly, win the games in your division. You can't go 1-5. In your own division. You can't lose all three home games against your division, which the Packers proved last night. You can't win the division that way if you're going to do that. And you can't go 1-7 at home. That's what needs to change next year. Win your home games, win your divisional games. That's what's going to get the Bears back in the playoffs.
Better than Dallas.
Better.
Cowboys won no home games
this
year.
No, they won one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Bears and Cowboys were tied for the worst home record in the NFC.
I saw a headline about an hour ago that said Alabama won more games at Texas Stadium than the Cowboys did. Did Alabama play there twice?
Well, they beat Wisconsin have. There in the opener, but
yeah, and then they won the Cotton. Or, well, the Cotton Bowl wouldn't have been there. So, but at any rate,
it was actually. Yeah, that's a
okay,
that's
so that would be the second one.
Yeah, that would be two.
All right, so there's your reason. Alabama won more games at Texas Stadium than the Cowboys did. Not great.
Well, Northwestern won as many at Soldier Field as the Bears did.
Go Cats!
Look at that.
There you go.
Look at that.
Nice.
Look what you did there.
There you go.
Pulling that out of the fire. Nicely done. All right. Well, listen, take the rest of this half hour off at 6:29 now, and they'll see you on TV in a few minutes.
All right. Sounds good.
See you, bud. It's Adam Hogan. Kevin, where would we find Adam's blog?
You can go to WGNradio.com/bears.
Back with the big story next at 7:20 WGN. John DaCosta did a medley of these songs on New Year's Eve.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
This seems to be the part that people really like the most.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
I mean that or edema on my thigh.
The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most for Northwestern Medicine at Central DuPage Hospital. Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Happy New Year. What is edema?
Edema is essentially swelling, so it's a collection of fluid.
Does that mean my head's full of fluid?
There's many people that are listening probably that might think that that's true.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming out to the show.
Oh, are you kidding? That was great.
Yeah.
You guys are a great team. That was very, very funny. We really enjoyed it. We had a lot of laughs. I'll tell you, in the beginning, I was laughing so hard my sides were hurting.
Well, you know, that's edema.
Yeah.
That's swelling. That's what I'm hearing anyway. Did you enjoy seeing John perform your theme song live?
Yes. You know, and he opened with it, so I thought that was pretty pretty amazing. Yes.
And Doc, I mentioned this, Mary, you know this. I hope you got a sample when you left. Doc was giving out Viagra and Lipitor in the lobby when everyone was leaving.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Mary was two rows ahead of me. I didn't even know it until the end of the show.
Yeah, we were in between the cackling ladies, so.
Correct.
Wow.
There was one lady with a very distinct laugh. Is that the lady you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Yeah. She was right in between us.
Was she planted?
No.
That's
she's
her
a
laugh.
big John DaCosta fan.
Oh, she loves nice. John. And then she snorts after every laugh.
Yeah, I think it's a medical thing. I think it's edema.
It's got to be.
I think it might be edema.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I really don't know. Well, welcome to the new year, and everybody's making New Year's resolutions. I believe statistically 97.5% of people have quit their resolutions on January 4th. Is that the right number?
You know what? You're pretty close, and it's, you know, a couple studies have shown that upwards of 90-92% of people will really be done with their resolutions within 8 weeks, that they are fallen off the tracks and that they have gone back to what they did normally.
And by the way, that is why you should own a health club. Because a health club business where you have a locked-in contract, where you absolutely mean it and you're dedicated to it, and you sign for 2 years, going on 10 years, whatever the number is, and then you go for 8 weeks, I mean, that's a fabulous business. No wear and tear on the equipment, no use of the showers. The lockers look great because nobody's using those. Plenty of room for you to work out. Everyone should get a health club, Doc.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the people who get upset are the people who go to the health club normally. Because for these next, you know, 8 weeks,
right, it's
they
busy.
Walk in and they can't find a parking space and it's crowded. And, they're, you know, it's these people that say, you know what, I'm going to go out and join a health club and get really healthy. And then come February, you can park in the first row and you don't have to wait for a towel. And, yeah, the machines are all open.
But don't you have to kind of be careful too, Doc? Because now I know everybody's saying, I'm going back to the gym. I'm going, you know, I haven't been in 4 months or 3 months and I'm going to go back full force. You know, you might be injury prone.
Absolutely. You know, people that are doing it are saying, you know, like you just said, I'm going to go at it. I'm going to go at it hard. You know, have your lungs checked, have your heart checked, and really be careful when you start these programs, because two things happen. One, you can hurt yourself. And two, and that's another reason why people quit so quickly, is that they find out they can't do this, and they get disappointed, and they get discouraged, and they quit. But the health reasons are absolutely right. Someone who hasn't been up on a treadmill is not going to run at 5 miles an hour for an hour. They're not going to do that. And you want to make sure that your doctor has told you, hey, you're okay to work out, but let's do it this way.
So when you go in, do you hook with a trainer? Because a lot of people go, look, I'm super fat now. I really don't want to go in and have the trainer tell me I'm super fat. I don't want to find out I can only do a half sit-up with a spotter. You know, I just want to go in and kind of quietly get back into shape. But you do need some kind of guidance, or at least a buddy system, don't you?
Absolutely. And you hit the two points right there. One is the guidance with the trainer. These are professionals. These guys know a lot. They know a lot about diet. They know a lot about how to exercise. They know a lot about how to get you to a goal. So that's a person that I would say, go to them, you know, go there, because they're going to show you how to use the equipment properly. They're going to walk you through, and they're going to put you on a plan. If you say, no, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm going to do this on my own. Then get a buddy to do it with you, whether it's your wife, your spouse, your friend, someone else to go with you, because with the buddy, now it's difficult to say no. If your friend's going, whoever you're paired up with, they're going to go with you as well. You can share successes. You can share struggles. You know, that's going to make you more successful than going by yourself, because the guy who goes by himself is going to find something else to do very quickly.
We'll get to traffic and more of Dr. Kevin Most. Kevin Powell is very inspirational, and I almost am tempted to start singing You'll Never Walk Alone, because I get a little emotional when I even talk about this. And, Andre, I don't even know if you know this. Kevin is giving up fast food starting today for the rest of the month.
What?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was kidding.
What?
No. Kidding, Mary. No. This is a serious thing, yeah.
And, Doc, is a commitment to Kevin.
Yeah.
We are supporting his giving up. No, yeah. It's a commitment to Kevin. Everyone on the show, after this break, will announce something they're giving up.
There you go.
What is it, Lent?
No, it's Steve. It's Steve Cochran. Yeah. So for the
New
rest
Year's
of the
resolutions
month,
are not like Lent.
Yeah,
but this isn't necessarily a resolution. This is just a 3.5 week sprint to the finish line. So between now and the end of the month, you have to give something up. And here's why this came up, Doc, because we were talking about some sort of health program, something to do, and we're going, well, Mary's in really good shape, Andrea's in really good shape, Dave's in really good shape.
You know? Thanks for throwing me in there. I'm not.
So you know, there's certain things
are.
we can't just you know fashion for everybody on the show. So we're thinking we'll give something up.
Mm-hmm.
Give something up that really is going to hurt. All right?
Okay, but wait. Let's make sure it's not like a Rocky Laporte, right?
No, we're not giving up Rocky.
No, remember what he gave up?
No, what did he give up?
Elk.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Rocky had a great line for elk clubs, too.
Hilarious.
He goes, you ever go into a health club and just cry?
Every day.
All right, more with Doc in a second. 647 and 720 WGN. Back with Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. This is Steve Cochran, Steve Cochran Show, number 558. Doc, do you have a nice New Year's Eve other than coming out to the early show?
Yeah, you know, very low key, just some
takeout
Chinese. And no, God, no, not even close. Not even close.
You're a wild man. How about the big Most family Christmas? We all saw the cable special. How did it go?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun getting the whole family together. When everyone's there, it's great. And, you know, David with the little guy now, little JD, 3 years old, he's the only kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, people like fight for spending time with him, where, you know, it's the others are all high school and college kids, and they're a lot of fun, but everybody wants to, you know, find little JD and take him around.
The other ones don't find Uncle Kevin nearly as amusing, is what you're saying.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I used to think I was funny until, I guess, my humor has changed recently.
We'll get to this how to quit smoking piece, or at least how to take the right steps. And we talked a little bit about health clubs a second ago, but we're all going to give something up here. Kev is really taking the pain here. Kevin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Kev's decided to give up fast food for the rest of the month. Now, let's be honest. This is all on the honor system.
Yeah.
So at some point during the month, I might go and break into Kevin's vehicle and, you know, find bags of Burger King and McDonald's and various other things. But I've chosen to trust Kevin.
You can trust me.
Yeah. Mary, what will you give up?
Oh, man, put me on the fence.
Something
here.
That's
kale.
No. Something painful.
How about bagels?
Do you eat a lot of bagels?
Well, I eat like a couple a week in the morning. You know, instead of yogurt, I'll just go all yogurt. Cream cheese. And I have cream cheese on them, too.
What do you have every day? I got one for you. You need to give up tea.
Tea?
Yeah, you got
to
give up tea.
I have to stay awake somehow.
You have to give up tea.
Then you have to give up Diet Coke.
No, I'm going to give up something that really is, I'm telling you, chocolate. I'm a big chocolate.
Oh, I am too.
You're a huge chocolate.
I'm giving up chocolate.
How long do we have to do this?
Rest of the month.
My.
We should do it 8 weeks.
Dave's giving up booze.
Andrea, be quiet.
You are?
Hold on there, partner.
Jeez.
That's not a good idea. He'll be cranky.
Don't be drastic, Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave. Are you not giving up booze? I thought you were giving up booze. It's either booze or Northwestern. It's one of the two. You got to give up one or the other.
How's he going to function?
Wait. I mean, I don't really. There's nothing I eat or drink. Well, you're not done with marriage.
No, I'm telling you right now. I've got something for you to give up. You need to give up kale.
Hold on. Wait.
Look at Doc.
Help me out here. I thought that's a good thing for me to be eating.
Exactly. We shouldn't be giving up things that are healthy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chocolate's healthy.
Apparently, I'm missing.
My wife made a delicious kale salad last night.
All right. Tell it to your blog.
Yeah.
Mary, what are you going to give up?
I don't know.
All right. I'll give you a couple extra minutes. Okay. What are you going to give up, Andre?
I'm basically giving up food.
What? You're not eating for the rest
of the
month?
You know, I don't eat fast food like Kevin does. I just eat, like, crap, though. I mean, I'll eat pizza. I eat here and there. I don't have a routine.
Food.
No more, basically no more food. I'm going to announce a little later on. I'm going to start Seattle Sutton today.
Well, that's healthy food.
So I'm going to be eating healthy food.
So you're giving up bad food.
I'm giving up bad food and kind of binge eating. Because do you do this? I mean, we stay up late prepping and, you know, watching
Doc
news and things.
Late night eating is bad for you.
I know, and I'll go to the nachos or I'll go to something
Let's go to the nachos.
Or go to the cookies or the candy, and that's going to all stop.
All right, so junk food.
And Andrea, that's very good because that's something you can do more than 8 weeks, and you'll start to notice a change in your whole eating pattern going forward. So, again, you guys are talking about 30-day things. We want to make something that's going to change so that you're going to continue besides changing back on February 1st.
Yeah, but the idea is you start now, and then what you're saying is we'll like it and we'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be
craving chocolate by February 1st, I assure you.
This is what Dave now could sober up, possibly. All right, so Dave, apparently you've got to keep eating kale. What are you going to give up?
Well, I'm going to. I don't really have.
How about the love and support of your family?
Doesn't do anything wrong.
Give up what?
The love and support of your family. How about that?
Well, I think I gave that up a long time ago.
All right, so Mary and Dave have to come up with something.
How about diet soda?
Do you drink much diet soda?
I don't drink a lot, but
no,
I do drink a little.
You can't give up something that you only have like once a week.
All right, look, Polly and Peter Perfect.
Okay,
there's
got to
be
right?
something
I
you
got
two
it.
Do.
I'm giving up candy.
I
eat a lot of candy. I have a candy bag in my purse.
That's right, my candy sister. I'm off the chocolate. You're off the candy.
Chocolate doesn't count. Chocolate's not candy.
What are you talking about?
Are you kidding
about?
Me? Of course
unless
I'm
candy.
Talking
Let me
like
tell you something. Unless
candies,
it's X-Lax, it's candy.
No, then I'm not doing that.
Mary's got a bag of Werther's in her purse.
All right, Doc. So we'll get we'll get Mary and Dave to come up with something. We're not going to ask Steve Grzanich to do this because he just got here.
Why don't you just ask us to start eating something bad?
Yeah.
No, because Doc doesn't want you to die.
How about if I start eating kale?
See, Doc, this is why this is why we can't do fantasy football live on the air anymore,
right?
Because there's no consensus.
Yeah, Steve, why can't we add something good instead of giving up something bad?
Brilliant.
Good
Thank
point.
Thank you.
All right, what are you going to add that's good?
Kale.
Yeah, what are you going to eat, once a month?
I don't know. I never buy it. I don't even know what it looks like.
All right, you're going to eat kale.
We'll make you a kale salad.
All right, how many times a week does she have to eat kale?
Oh, if she eats kale two or three times a week.
Three.
You know,
three times a week,
okay.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Dave.
Mary, there's some great kale salads. I bet you Dave can give you some great ones that he makes or his wife makes that
Do
are phenomenal.
Do I have to eat the whole salad?
He can massage your kale. It's always tastier when you massage it.
He's good
true.
At that.
That's true.
All right, I'm going with kale.
Can I add an extra day of kale?
So ridiculous. Listen, you're not that perfect. I've known you forever. Find something. Find something you're going to miss for the next 3.5 weeks.
Okay. How about gum?
Oh, God.
Do you chew gum?
I do chew gum.
Sugar-free gum.
Yeah.
He borrows all my gum.
What's wrong with gum?
Do you chew gum every day?
I do.
I probably chew gum at some point during the day. Yeah.
Is gum bad for you, Doc?
Some gum can be bad for you. Some gum is bad for your teeth. Yeah.
There was
I want you guys to remember something. Kevin Powell is giving up fast food. Andrea is giving up all food.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I'm giving up chocolate.
Okay, we did that already.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I gave up fast food a long time ago.
I do it during Lent.
All right, you're both off the show.
Yeah.
You're both off the show. Stick around until 10 when you work with Bill and Wendy. You'll come up with something. All right, Doc, let's move on to smoking. How do people quit smoking?
Yeah, Steve, you know, a lot of people are going to be saying, I'm going to quit smoking. And you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can quit. You know, the person that can quit cold turkey, God bless them, because if they can just put them down and not pick one up again because nicotine is so highly addictive, that's great. And often that comes when they have a stress or something happen in their life. You know, you find out that your wife's pregnant for the first time and you're not going to smoke around her. That's great. Other ways to quit, you know, there's the taper method where I'm at a pack and a half a day. I'm going to be at a pack by the end of the month. I'm going to be at a half a pack. And some of those, you know, you just need to keep track of how much you're actually smoking and keep you online. There's medications. We have Nicoderm patches. We have nicotine gum as well. We have Chantix as a medication. So there's a lot of different ways, and the guy that's really motivated can do it. If you want, go on to smokestopping.gov, and it has surveys, studies, research studies that are going on that you can get in so that you actually get paid to stop smoking. So it's pretty cool.
All right. So the idea, again, would be make a realistic goal, achieve the goal, you'll like the results, and you'll stay on it.
And the people that are around you need to encourage you. Need to say, hey, how many days has it been? That's great. Or, boy, doesn't food taste better now that you stop smoking? Hey, you know, it's great that the house smells so much better. The car smells so much better. It's nice that we're, you know, all of those things that, oh, it's nice that you don't have to go outside now after dinner and smoke. So it's that reinforcement, too, that the person is making the right decision.
And Doc and I were talking, and you can do something else, too, for your community. You could volunteer. You hear us talking about charities all the time. You don't have to write a check. It's great if you can. But volunteering, kicking some hours in for something, the cause that matters to you, or something you're inspired by, or something you're talking about here. That's a great resolution.
It really is. You know, that helps the mental health side. It makes you feel like you did something more for society than just went to work. It gives you that good feeling. It puts endorphins out and actually makes you feel a lot better as well. And it gives you some meaning to your life as well. Sometimes people are just going through the motions. Now they go and they help someone who's less fortunate, and boy, it makes them feel a whole heck of a lot
better. Yeah, Dave, you could be a better person. You could volunteer.
Oh, I'm glad to volunteer.
We got to be sober first. Again, we're right back to the booze. All right, so Dr. Kevin Most, thanks for the advice. We'll get Mary and Dave to give up something.
Yeah, let me know what it is.
Yeah, well, as soon as I find out, you will.
Okay.
Feel this fight's going to go on for another 4 hours.
I got something.
Me too.
All right, hold that thought now. Hold that thought.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, good to be back. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening, and thanks for a great 2015. Going to even be even bigger 2016. Thanks to you, the greatest audience ever. This is show number 558, and let me say Happy New Year to Governor Rauner, who joins us now on the phone. Happy New Year, Governor.
Steve, good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Did you make midnight on New Year's Eve?
I was actually on a plane coming back to Illinois on New Year's, so I did not do much of anything.
Did you have any celebration on the plane? Did you drop anything?
You know, they actually turned some sort of communication on for the plane, listening to a radio station. I think it was in Spain, and with a lot of people screaming and yelling. It was midnight in Madrid. I don't know what time it was in Springfield.
All right. Well, better luck next New Year's. So, let's start with the obvious here, and that's the floods downstate. Yep. Valley City, Maradoja, Beardstown, Havana, a mess. You were in Kincaid, right?
Yeah. We've been traveling over the last 4 days in all the communities we could. We declared 12 counties a disaster area so we can free up state resources to help the first responders and volunteers there. And we also, it's the first step in a fairly arduous process to try to get federal aid, federal reimbursement to the communities that need it. And so we've been traveling. And what's amazing, you know, so wonderful about Illinois, the communities come together, helping each other, volunteers working 24 hours a day for a solid week. Helping, and most communities have come through this relatively well. Hundreds and hundreds of buildings have been saved through sandbagging efforts and barricades. It's pretty inspirational to see all the work that's been
done. You feel like FEMA is going to sign off on this? Is this FEMA? Is it FEMA's jurisdiction on this?
It's FEMA is the primary one. There are some other pockets of jurisdictions that we're also going to discuss with, but FEMA is the primary one.
Because, as you know, before you came into office, when Washington was flattened by a tornado, it was a huge disappointment when the feds did not come through. Now, FEMA is not sitting on a pile of money, and it turns into a political thing, but I'm glad to hear you're fairly confident, at least, as much as you can guarantee, that it looks like it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't want to overstate. I'm not guaranteeing anything at all. FEMA's got very rigorous high-dollar standards, and we do not know the extent of the damage, and we've got to get all the financial reports from everybody before we really know.
A lot of it's probably wet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, they don't make it easy, I guess, is my point. Andrea.
How frustrating, though, Governor, is it to deal with FEMA? I know, because it really is, you know, you're kind of between a double-edged sword as to whether or not you're going to get the funding. For example, when all the tornadoes hit, we thought we were going to get more money. When I say we, I mean the state.
Right.
Thought we were going to get more than we actually did.
Yeah, no, that's right. And they've got, I understand, they've got a lot of demands on the federal resources, but you know, the reality is a lot of these communities have been devastated by the flooding, and it's a question of whether the financial totals come up to a level that FEMA will say, okay, we'll go ahead and cut some checks. At this point, I just don't know. I can't tell you that I'm super optimistic.
Also want to ask you about today. You're going to announce some reforms for some local communities. This is the findings of the Local Government Consolidation and Unfunded Mandates Task Force. It's their final report that you're going to be announcing the results of today.
Yeah, it's actually a really big deal. Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti has led a task force for the last 11 months. She's been traveling the state meeting with hundreds and hundreds of local elected officials, county board members, mayors, village presidents, township heads, talking about the cost of government and what we can do to save taxpayers' money. There's a huge opportunity for the state of Illinois here, for the taxpayers of Illinois. We are not getting value for taxpayers today, a lot of wasted money. And this report is compelling. I'm very excited after having reviewed it over the last few weeks. They did a great job. This is bipartisan. We've got Democratic elected leaders who voted for every element of this, as well as Republicans. And here's the bottom line. If the recommendations in this report were implemented statewide, we would save billions, that's billions with a B, every year for Illinois taxpayers. It's very exciting, and it's all about driving efficiency. We have 7,000 units of government in Illinois, 1,800 more units of government than the number two state, which is Texas. And even though we've got dramatically smaller population than Texas, there's a lot of waste, a lot of inefficiency, a lot of redundancy, and if we can strip that out, big savings that we can put in the taxpayers' pockets to bring down their cost of living, put in the pockets of small business owners so we can grow jobs. And then very importantly, we can put the money saved into our schools where it ought to go and into the social services for our most needy families. So it's a very compelling report.
Now, the unfunded mandate portion of this goes to the spending that you've been very upfront about how much you're fighting the Democrats on this. How much of this is realistically going to be able to get done?
You know, I really don't know. It's compelling good government policies, and we did get Democrats, both some Democratic legislators. We had legislators on the task force. They didn't vote for everything on here, but they voted for significant majority of the recommendations. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we can work with the General Assembly and try to get the bulk of these recommendations passed.
The budget issue, which is ongoing, 95, 94, 93, whatever the percentage is of the state being funded, isn't enough.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. You don't have a budget. It's incredibly, it's just outlandish to me that Mike Madigan didn't show up for the last meeting of the four tops that you all got together. When are you sitting down again, and when are the grown-ups going to actually get something done?
Well, we've put in a request. I requested even before the holidays whether we should meet over the holidays. There was not much interest in doing that among the leaders, so we decided to wait until January. That's one of the reasons I went ahead and joined my family on a trip over the holidays. But the next time we meet, we're working on the dates right now. There's no agreement. You know, the speaker has not had a lot of interest in doing the four-leader meetings ever since last May. He's just not had too much interest. And my sense is that the meetings that we've had, he hasn't spoken much of anything in the meetings in December. And it's as much as about, I think, getting his message out for his own political process as it is for actually negotiations. So I don't know. When will we get an agreement? It's clear, and the speaker said it finally publicly, his real goal is to get the income tax back up to 5%. That's what he's pushing for. And I've said, look, I will negotiate on revenue. I will be willing to, I'm open to considering some new revenue, but I will not raise the taxes on the people of Illinois if we're not changing the structure so we can get real value for taxpayers. Otherwise, we're going to stay on this treadmill we've been on for decades, spending more, borrowing more, and taxing more, and not getting value. We've got to stop that.
And it seems fairly common sense. Are you embarrassed about how long this has taken?
I don't know if embarrassed is the right word. I'm very frustrated. I knew it was going to take a while, it's just taken longer than I thought. There's a chance now in January that it only takes a simple majority, not a super majority, to pass bills that we could get something done. But legislators, and I've got a lot of friends in the Democratic caucus, a lot of them are whispering to me, the speaker may not want to take tough votes until after the primaries are done in March, which would be unfortunate. That's bad for everybody, but I'm hearing that chatter. I've even heard a few people whisper that he may not want to take tough votes until after the general election. I hope that's not
true.
This is
idiotic. You can't ever go to the federal government argument that you have to run it the way you run a checkbook because it's different. However, having said that, the idea that the fifth largest state in the nation can't get together to do a budget is embarrassing. This is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, it's about the politics and positioning for some of the folks on the other side. It's not about what's good policy and what's right. And the reality is we do need some bipartisan compromises. I'm willing to compromise. I'm not going to demand everything that I want to see. There's a lot of changes we need in the state. I'm willing not to get even the majority of them day one. But we've got to change. Well, if all we do is put in a massive tax hike and nothing else, more businesses will leave. More people. We lost 100,000 people last year who could choose what state to live in, and they left net. And that's been going on for years. We've got to change direction. And whether it's term limits, redistricting reform, local control on bargaining and bidding to bring down property taxes, property tax freeze, if we can't change some of these things to indicate that we're going in a different direction, we will be lost. And that's what I've got to convince the speaker. Be willing to compromise.
Governor, the spring session doesn't start until January 13th, but I guess many, including State Representative Jack Franks, are saying that a budget deal wouldn't even take place until after the primary. Would you ever consider calling him in earlier or into a special session?
Well, we'll be meeting. The General Assembly will be meeting starting January 13th. It's a question of when will they take tough votes. The Speaker is reluctant to put, certain members of his caucus on bills right now if they could be if they could lose their primary as a result. And he's also worried that if they take some tough votes, some members of his caucus might lose their general elections in November. The reality is, sometimes we've got to stick, all of us got to stick our necks out and take some tough votes regardless of the short-term consequences. We've got to stop. Bottom line in Illinois, everybody's been focused on the next election for years, not the next generation. We've got to make some decisions that help the next generation in Illinois. That's the bottom line.
And the people that aren't funded now by the state are in great pain over this and pain that worsens every day. Has Mr. Cullerton been more cooperative on this?
He's been more flexible. That's been true all the way since last spring. The speaker has, brought him back in forcefully sometimes, from time to time. Both the president and the mayor have been more creative and flexible and willing to come up with some compromises. So far, the speaker's shown absolutely zero interest in any sort of compromise. The focus is on getting the income tax up to 5%.
We're both going to run out of time here before we do. The speaker's constant refrain is that you want to bust unions. Do you, Governor Rauner, want to break the unions apart and end unions in Illinois?
Absolutely not. That's pure poppycock. It's a bunch of bull. What I'm asking is let local communities decide how they run their communities, their cities, their counties, their school districts. Many elected officials would agree with the speaker. They want to spend more when they build things through prevailing wage. They want higher property taxes. So because the government unions, deserve better compensation or better pensions. Fine, keep it. I'm not changing that at all. All I'm saying is don't have Springfield mandate what happens, requires what happens. Let each community decide for themselves. Some might agree with the speaker. Terrific. Some will agree with me. I know because I hear from them every day. Let each community decide. That's all I'm asking.
Maybe a meeting this week?
We've asked for one. Right now I'm hearing that they probably don't want to do it. My guess is right now it's going to be next week.
Republicans, Democrats, moderates, everyone who wants this nonsense to end, let the speaker know that regardless of what else is on his calendar, short of a family emergency, he needs to show up and do his damn job.
Encourage him to give power back to the people of Illinois. In the end, my agenda is about letting people of Illinois decide their own future for themselves, not dictated to by certain elected officials. Let local folks decide term limits, redistricting, control on bargaining, bidding, and contracting. If you're pro-union, terrific. I got no problem. Many members of my family and friends of mine are in unions. I got no issue. But let local people decide the process that goes on. Don't have it mandated by a couple leaders in Springfield. That's what's got to change.
All right. And again, the governor just said on the record that he's not here to break unions and he is willing to compromise and continue to compromise. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All the best. That's Governor Rauner. It's 7:23. We're way late for obvious reasons. And Mary's here with the traffic trouble spots.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Kev, you've been in negotiations with Hamp for the playoffs. Have we gotten extra meat so Hamp will be joining us through the playoffs?
I'm still working on it, but yes, the contract negotiations are going on. But I'll find a way to come through for him.
And the contracts aren't meat heavy?
They will be meat heavy. Some steak, maybe a little bacon, provisions. Sausage links.
Our friend Hamp is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Here's the deal. Before I pick up the phone with Hamp, and Hamp and OB and Kaz and their pet boy, Mark Carmen.
What?
All great again yesterday. But I go back to what Hamp said early in the season. He said it a million times. He goes, you only get 16 of these. You only get 16. I understand the outcome yesterday, and 6-10 means in a number 11 draft pick instead of a lower draft pick. But you only get 16. Win them all. Get out there and win them all. I cannot, Hamp, be happy about a higher draft pick and another Bears loss. I just can't.
Two things. Hey, Happy New Year, Steve.
Thanks,
and,
bud.
And, you know, as far as the negotiations, make sure that it includes, you know, two of the three or four basic food groups. That would be bacon, lots of bacon. always love bacon. Hey, by the way, nice job with the governor. That was a nice interview. See if you can't get a FEMA package to re-sign Matt Forte while you're, you know, working on it. But, you're right, and you know, I got to tell you, you know, I after the game we hear, oh, you know, the blocks are in place, we're moving forward, we've got the core group. Well, the core group, a bunch of them didn't want to play yesterday. You know, I just think there has to be this overriding sense of importance, not because the coach tells you or your neighbor says, hey, why didn't you play yesterday? It's because you want to play for the guy you're suited up with. And we're closer than we were a year ago, but still it was very disappointing yesterday.
I would assume, and this is the part I never understand, if you are gifted and have the privilege of playing professional sports, I would assume, Hamp, when those days are over, whether it comes by way of injury or your own decision or whatever the case is, you would love at any point in your life, to the point when you close your eyes for the final time, you'd love to say, give me one more. Let me go back and get one more. And said so many of these chumps don't seem to realize that every game matters not just to us, it matters to them.
Absolutely. Just look at the... You know, that wonderful movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and you know, frame of mind, you know, your attitude, point of reference, all those things, it really does matter. Look at the way Matt Forte approached the final couple of games, and especially the final game maybe at Soldier Field for him being a Bear yesterday. I mean, it was one of those deals where he was very, what would you call it, you know, melancholy.
Right.
Worried about the, you know, the fact that he may never be back. So, you know, hey, every once in a while you do get a spot where you need to pinch yourself and say, man, I'm lucky. Why don't I, you know, and the Ernie Banks, let's play two. You know, it's like we've got some guys on this team that don't want to play one.
there are a couple things, Hamp, that I think obviously are concerning. Number one, the way the Bears have started games. And again, yesterday, letting Detroit go right down the field on them. And also, not being able to win at home. And there was a time teams feared coming into Soldier Field. They dreaded. And it wasn't because necessarily there was a time the Bears had a great team, but the Bears had good teams, but teams still hated to come here and play. And obviously, that's gone away now when you have, what, 3 wins at home in 2 years.
Well, you'd like to say it's because for a lot of years, a ferocious defense. But the bottom line is nobody wants to get beat. And you don't want to go where everybody gets beat. Nobody wants to go to Seattle. Nobody wants to go to New England. But my point is, you know, we have got to get better in so many different ways and different facets of the team. But the first and easiest is get bigger, better, stronger players. You know, everybody knows we're 1-7 at home. That's, you know, abysmal. But we were also 1-5 in the division. We hadn't beat Detroit since Lovey was coaching. Think about that. We have not beat the crummy Detroit Lions since Lovey was here coaching. And we're 4-14 in the division since Lovey was fired. So there's, you know, again, on, you know, the glass is half full, half empty. I'm starting to think it's a styrofoam cup with a hole in it, because at some point you're going to have to just say, we got to get a lot better. We can't keep saying, oh, we're a player or two away or this or that. Playing close doesn't, you know, it doesn't cut it. You've got to be able to win football games and preferably win them at home.
You brought up yesterday on the show the 5 key positions on any NFL team and our lack of having 4 of them. This has been my sermon for years with the Bears. The Bears, for some reason, the rest of the league has realized I got to have 2 quarterbacks. A quarterback is a very good chance of being hurt this year. Somehow we got through the whole year with Cutler being healthy, but the rest of the team got hurt. But you look at Denver. Denver finds Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler gets him through 4 or 5 games to a point yesterday where he doesn't get it done, and Peyton Manning crawls back on the field like Willis Reed with a 70 Knicks and gets it done. The Bears also have to address the backup quarterback situation. Hamper, why even talk about going any farther?
You're right. You know, nobody wants to think about, you know, having to go to the backup quarterback, but it's a reality. We had to do it when we went to Seattle and had to play with Jimmy Clausen. Everybody in Chicago knew we had no chance. It'd be great if we could, have a suitable replacement, you know, break glass when you need him, but it doesn't work that way. That's another thing. You know, right now, you know, Lou Holtz used to say, when you're up to your butt in alligators, it's hard to remember. The first job was to drain the swamp. Well, right now, Ryan Pace is trying to drain the swamp, and that is, you know, get rid of some of these bad players, get good ones, and, you know, unfortunately, the backup quarterback, it's kind of, you got to move him down the line as far as pecking order, because, again, there's a reason why we hadn't beat Detroit since Levy was here. They got better players. We got to find some.
Come back with more with Hamp in a second. And, again, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Also want to talk to Hamp about the rest of the league. I mean, what a bizarre year. Falcons started out 5-0. They finished 8-8 out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Jets have their own they have their own fate in their hands yesterday, and they lose to Rex Ryan. Oh,
And the way they did.
Jets fans have to be just wanting to die this morning.
Yeah.
The Patriots don't look good. The Packers look like they're a mess. Who would have called the Vikings at 11-5 and winning the division? A lot of questions out there. Many questions, Dave Ennett.
Many questions.
Many. We'll turn many of them over to the big fella, Dan Hampton, in a moment for 747.
Well, I was going to ask you guys today if you could write some bad articles about him. Maybe we could cool him off some, but I don't see that happening. He couldn't be more happy for him, and he's going to go through the process, and we'll see what happens. If he gets a job, then he deserves it. If he doesn't, he's going to come back to us, and we're going to be happy about that too.
Well, look at our little Jay Cutler all grown up. Jay Cutler on the verge of maybe another offensive coordinator, which on paper wouldn't be great. But, you know, as a pro, Hamp, you got to just roll with it and get it done.
Boy, he can go through them, can he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a good, you know, it's a good ending. The one thing about this is, and, hey, Adam Gase, there's no denying his major impact was on Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler was transformed from a guy that was benched. Think about this. A year ago, benched in the 15th week of the NFL season as the highest paid player in all of football by Mark Trestman.
It's pretty crazy.
To what everybody in town knows is the MVP of the Chicago. Okay, you're an MVP of a 5-11 football team. Well, you know, woohoo. The bottom line is he has proven that he is definitively going to be the leader of this team moving forward. And, you know, I feel really good about it for a lot of reasons. But the best one is moving forward, even without Adam Gase. If Adam Gase is truly going to be, you know, wished away to Detroit or Miami or whatever, I really feel like the lessons, the coaching, the impact of this season will have a profound effect on Cutler moving forward. So, you know, it's not like, oh, without Adam Gase, he's going to go back to, you know, Dr. Turnover and throw the ball away every 5 seconds. So, you know, I would like to see Adam Gase stick around. I'd like to see what this offense could do with some real NFL caliber receivers. But if he's gone, hey, I don't worry so much about it like a lot of people, because I think Jay Cutler, I hate to say learned his lesson, but he understands the big picture now.
Hamp, give me three players on offense and three players on defense who, in your opinion, are critical to keeping for the Bears for 2016.
Well, first and foremost, the offensive line has to be stabilized. There were, 15, 16 different combinations of these guys throughout the course of the year. Kyle Long is your best player. Kyle Long needs to be at left tackle. Now, it's going to be a transformation. It's going to be a long process. But you don't wait until the week you're opening the season with Green Bay and moving to left tackle. You tell him today, you're going to be the left tackle, and guess what? You're going to be a great one, but you're going to have to, you know, pay a price, work really hard. You get him in place at left tackle. The rest of it, it'll fall in place. Move Matt Slauson back. Yeah, you know, I'm not completely sure that the kid Grasso, the third rounder, will ever be a good enough player at center. I mean, how can you teach him to be big and stronger? He's got to be more powerful. Yesterday, Matt Slauson playing center proved again that, you know, a lot of the reasons why we couldn't run the ball in the middle of the year was because the center was just being overpowered play after play. So there's a lot of questions that have to be addressed on the offensive line. But the first and foremost issue, your money player on the offensive line has got to be left tackle, and it's got to be Kyle Long. Everything else, you can make things work. As far as receiver Alshon Jeffrey, you got to make him the franchise player. You cannot lock him up for 40, 50, 60 million. When a guy can, you know, comes to camp, can't practice because of soft tissue injuries. And I know how important it is, to get the continuity of an offense between the quarterback and receivers. But it was almost laughable. You know, Jay Cutler had to have a meet and greet before the game yesterday to find out who he was going to be throwing it to. You got to have people dependable enough to practice, let alone play. But the last and most important one is Kevin White has got to come back and be what we expected him to be a year ago. You know, and you're saying, well, he should. He had a year off. But guess what? Todd Bell, Al Harris, they took a year off in the prime of their careers and were never the same player. So, you know, I would say those three players are the ones that you've got to say are the linchpin to us moving forward and becoming a winning football team.
Are the Packers and the New England Patriots in serious trouble, or because it's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, will they find a way?
Boy, if those two guys can't find a way, then, I mean, everybody has to start questioning some things that you understand about pro football. But it all reverts back to the fact that a good offensive line and a solid running game can keep you out of these hard times at quarterback. Both Green Bay's offensive line is in shambles. The Patriots, their offensive line, they're missing some of their best players. But ultimately, I got to tell you, every 3, 4, 5, 8 years, there's like a sea change, and maybe we're seeing it right now. Maybe some of these guys that we thought were the gold standard, it's kind of come and gone. And all I know is, if you're looking at offenses right now, and this is an offensive league, you got to be scared of what potentially the Arizona Cardinals could do to you, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they've got some guys that are hot at quarterback. They protect them,
right?
And they got targets, so it'll be interesting to see who eventuates. But you're exactly right. Hey, so it's a long ways away from Patriots, Green Bay going in as favorites last year.
All the best, buddy. Thanks for the time, as always. And we continue, and there's never a better Monday than when you hear Hamp going off on the Bears for love in good times and bad. So we'll and great job again yesterday with you and OB and Kaz and your pet boy, Carmen.
Hey, he's part-time bartender, too. Hey, listen, thank you. And I want to thank all the great folks at Chevy for having us on and giving us the opportunity. God bless. And Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, buddy. We'll talk to you later in the week. A couple of minutes before 8. More coming up. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what that should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Thanks for the TV hit the other day. We had a great time.
Oh, we had fun. Yeah, we had fun. And thanks for showing up sober.
Yeah, and on time.
Early.
Yeah.
Early, I might add.
Yeah. Early. That was almost a Yoda you did there.
Yeah, early. Early he was.
Let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly here. The good, Star Wars records. I actually saw it. Look, I'm the furthest thing from a Star Wars geek, but I was highly entertained.
Complete fun, right?
Yeah, ton of fun.
Complete fun. Took in another $88 million over the weekend. That now brings its domestic total. Let me see, just counting.
Let's go to the tote board.
Here, let's go to the tote board. $740 million total.
That's pretty good.
That's just in 19 days. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So it surpasses Jurassic World and Titanic.
That's the kind of money Roe used to make.
That's right. Back when things were good. $740 million surpassing Jurassic World and Titanic in total dollars earned. It is now the second highest box office ever for a motion picture, $20 million short of Avatar's lifetime total.
No question it'll pass seven, it, right?
It's, in the time that you and I have been talking, it probably made $20 yeah. million. Dollars.
And, Andrea, you've not seen it yet.
What?
I can't believe it. I know.
What?
I know.
What? What's been more important than this?
You guys would be proud. I saw Spotlight and Carol. I have seen a couple movies, but I have to see Star Wars.
I saw it Saturday.
Did you like it, man?
And?
It was pretty
loved it. I just loved there it. My husband, go. Of course, it was too predictable. I'm like, you know what?
Predictable?
I don't know
how
why.
Does your, how did your
predictable.
Husband,
you guys
how
don't,
does your husband, Steve, you know, predict space future?
I have no idea. But he could. He saw right through.
All right.
I loved it.
He saw some of the spoilers coming?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks he can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harrison
that's
Ford.
What everybody says.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that coming in the first 10 minutes of the movie. I hear it almost every week mm-hmm. about some movie.
Harrison Ford opens a used Millennium Falcon dealership.
Oh, there you go.
Get off my plane.
Ruined it for me.
And marries Caitlyn Jenner.
I got to tell you who's great. Who's great in this movie, and Dean, I think you'll agree with me, is Oprah.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Guys.
Who knew she could run a cantina that well?
It was crazy. The cantina scene from the first Star Wars
is in there?
Is really good.
A reference to it.
There's an homage to it. It's really good.
There's an homage to it.
Who does the voice of the tiny cantina boss character? Do you know?
That is Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, she's great.
I loved her.
Oscar winner
she's
Lupita Nyong'o.
She is.
That's actually her. They do that
CGI nonsense.
CGI nonsense where they put on that costume with all the little dots on it, and then the computers turn the dots into the character she becomes on screen. But that is Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o.
I tell you who else is really good in this, Dean. You'll agree with me, though. He was very emotional. Former Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
It was
really, really good.
It was very good.
Guys are just killing me.
From the planet Banque du Soleil.
Yes.
For that Saint-Tropez town.
Continue with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The bad, why are Madonna and Guy Ritchie fighting?
Why can't we all get along? So they have this 15-year-old son by the name of Rocco. Mm-hmm. His legal custody is with Madonna. When they divorced several years ago, she got custody of him. But he's been spending time with his dad in the United Kingdom. He likes spending time with his dad in the United Kingdom and wants to live with his dad now in the United Kingdom. He says that his mom is too controlling, doesn't pay enough attention to him.
Mom's always stripping and taking pictures and touring.
She leaves her metallic bras all over the house.
I tripped on one. I almost poked my eye out with a big cone.
So he wants to live with his dad now in the UK. Guy Ritchie, according to TMZ, has hired a legal team and is going to mount a legal battle to get custody of his son. All of this will go before a New York judge in February.
Well, we wish them the best. And the ugly, we got a couple here. Cosby in a mugshot, and as this story gets darker and darker, there's a criminal prosecution now.
Well, yeah, that was the story from last week, that there's a criminal arraignment at this point, where a former Temple University employee claims that she was drugged and sexually assaulted by him. This is the amazing part. This was in Pennsylvania. There was a 12-year statute of limitations on this that was set to expire last Saturday. They made it before the statute of limitation just by a couple of days. So that case is going to be going to trial. But this other part of the story now came over the weekend when a federal judge denied Bill Cosby's wife a motion to throw out a subpoena that would require her to give a deposition in a different lawsuit, requiring her now to testify in the civil suit that's being brought by seven women accusing the comedian of sexual assault. So Camille Cosby was saying that the couple's private conversations were privileged. The judge says that is not the case, and she will now appear Wednesday to be deposed by the lawyers in that case.
It's really remarkable. I mean, you got 50 or so women so far. I guarantee you there's more out there who have not come forward. It's an awful story. It's just awful on every level. And Chris Brown, who is an incredibly talented guy, but probably equally famous for smacking around Rihanna and putting her in the hospital, has been accused of assault again.
Yeah, he was accused by a woman who said that Chris Brown hit her, took her cell phone when she tried to take a photo of him. Chris Brown says that the allegations are unequivocally untrue. The publicist said that the woman was, Chris Brown's publicist is claiming that the woman was intoxicated, was being escorted from a party, was taken out by private security because she was disruptive and out of control. So that's going to go to court. Now, Chris Brown was released from probation for that Rihanna domestic violence. He was convicted of domestic violence charges against his then-girlfriend Rihanna. 6 years ago. It just seems like yesterday. All these crazy kids and growing up.
When we come back, a very good question from a texter.
Uh-oh.
In regards to the Star Wars movie.
Yes.
They want to know, how much money do the theaters that show the movie get? How does that whole thing work? Dean explains how a movie gets to your theater in just a moment. Plus, Dean, when we come back, what Dean will give up for the next 3.5 weeks. Everybody on the show is giving up something. This is not a New Year's resolution, where we're going to go the entire year. We're barely committing to January.
Wow.
But Kevin is our inspiration
here. This is like Lent.
Kevin
That's what
Paul,
I said.
This is like Lent. We're giving something up for 30 days.
Kevin Paul is giving up fast food for the rest of January.
I heard the two-hour discussion yesterday whether or not Portillo's is or is not fast food.
Right.
It's not, right, Dean?
To me, it's fine dining.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anytime,
that's what it is.
Anytime you can get a great hot dog, a fantastic chopped salad,
and
a piece of chocolate cake, that's a three-course meal to me. That's
so
not.
So I can still eat it. That's what we're saying.
I like how Dean throws in the two-hour discussion about it.
So I'm giving up chocolate.
That was riveting.
I'm giving up chocolate.
Yeah.
Andrea's giving up junk food and bad food for her and eating Seattle Sutton.
Yeah.
You're giving up Seattle Sutton?
No, I'm giving up food, basically, and I'm eating Seattle. Not that that's not food.
Well, no, yeah,
it's good food.
Like
it's good food, yeah.
Yes, you're giving up the...
She will come and kick your butt.
I know she will.
Don't mess with Seattle
Sutton. I know.
Yes, you're eating good food. You're eating Seattle Sutton instead of the
delicious,
bad food.
Deliciously prepared meal. Got it.
She actually wrestled me to the ground many years ago.
That was over an Acapulco taco pie.
She was able to, Dean, because you lost so much weight.
That's right.
So we'll come back and Dean will reveal what he's giving up. And finally, 3 hours later, Mary and Dave will reveal what they're giving up for the next 3.5 weeks on the show.
I thought we already decided.
No, okay. No.
Yeah, I thought I was going to eat kale.
No, I changed my mind. It's 8:20. Now, I don't know what we decided, but we'll come back and act like we didn't decide. It's 8:20. We'll come back with more of Dean in a moment on 720 WGN. Mary, what do you have?
You can travel Chicago. Calling his name, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
At the Rouse Center.
How did the live version of that go?
Yeah, I was going to say, at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake, John did that live. Big hit. Big hit.
Were people singing along and dancing in the aisles?
They were until they got to the rap part. The rap part was tough for everybody.
Yeah, that's difficult.
All right, so first off, let's talk about this movie thing. Here's a question from a texter. So the Star Wars movie has made officially $1 gazillion.
Yep.
How much of that goes to the theaters?
Well, theater companies, you know, like AMC or Regal, you know, the big chains will negotiate rates with the movie distributors. But it generally is about 20%. So, you know, whatever money the theaters took in from Star Wars this weekend, the actual local theater generally gets to keep about 20%. That's not enough to stay in business. But, you know, as you know, when you go to the concession counters, you know, a popcorn, soda, you know, milk duds, you know, whatever, that the theater keeps all of that money. And, you know, it's pretty reasonably priced. I don't know if you've noticed.
There's no doubt about it. I got a small popcorn and a thimble of Diet Coke this weekend, $79.50.
Yeah, I know. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. I got a hot pretzel. Fortunately, they had a banker there, so I could take a second mortgage out of my house, you know, and fill out all the applications before the movie actually started.
Yeah, and by the way, I really want to thank the AMC chain of theaters for having one kid named Tom work the entire theater, you know, on the second weekend Star Wars is open. I just want a bottle of water, Tom.
That's unusual, though.
Oh, I don't know, dude. The last couple of movies I've been to,
really?
Incredibly understaffed.
Because the AMC that I usually go to is the AMC River East on Illinois Street. It's right by the station. That's where you should go.
Yeah.
They always have plenty of people behind the counters there to, you know, serve and smile.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say which one this was, Showplace 16 in Naperville, but get your act together.
Come on, hire a few more people behind the counter.
I actually hopped over the counter. I started serving popcorn. You know, that was one of my first jobs.
Really?
I worked at a movie theater.
Is that right?
Yeah, it turns out it's different now.
You know, when you're charging...
We actually had to do live performances of the movies when I worked there.
Really? Had to pantomime the movies?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice
I'd be up in
talent.
Front and I'd go, come back next week when the talkies are here.
Even if they didn't want you to do it, you'd do it.
Well, we hope you enjoy this Al Jolson feature.
Dateline. But no, it's just a minor frustration. I don't want
to
make
you're paying $97 to, you know, to get something to eat. At least you could have some people behind the counter. And also, these places that serve butter-like substance to put on your popcorn,
it's not butter.
Really is going to kill you to melt a stick of butter and serve some actual butter on your
popcorn. I got to believe butter is cheaper than the antifreeze that most of these theaters are serving. Because antifreeze is not cheap.
It's not cheap.
So... All right, so let's get back to not a New Year's resolution.
Did we answer the Star Wars question? Did we? Is that?
Yeah, you said 20%.
20%. Okay.
20% goes back to theaters.
Yeah.
All right, Mary, I'm giving up chocolate. Kev is giving up fast food for the rest of the month. I think Kevin's sacrifice is really serious. Andrea is going on Seattle Sutton today.
Mm-hmm.
Dave is about to decide. Steve.
Well, probably, why is Annabella laughing?
Apparently somebody at Channel 9 is enjoying the show. Steve Grzanich is giving up sleep because he just started today.
Yeah, he has no idea how much his life's about to change.
And Mary, what are you giving up?
Oh, okay, I'll go with the candy. That includes chocolate, though?
Yeah, it's got to include chocolate. Yeah.
Well, then you gave up chocolate. You have to get rid of all candy, then.
Done.
Okay, yeah, I'll do this. Can I do the same thing?
Chocolate's the hard thing for me.
Because I'm terrible with candy. I mean, I have a candy bag in my purse. And
I can't do it.
All right, I'll do candy.
Yeah, all right, so we're both off the candy.
Man.
Dave?
I'll be going down the street. There'll be some guy going, who needs a Kit Kat?
Me!
Who needs a Kit Kat?
But that doesn't include cookies. I can eat cookies, right?
Not if there's chocolate in them.
If there's chocolate,
come
there's
on. Chocolate in them. That's candy.
Yeah. Chocolate.
Forget this.
Mary doesn't think chocolate's candy.
Of course chocolate's candy.
It's in a cookie, therefore it's not candy.
I'll tell you what, you can have...
Bad's in a
here's
cookie.
The chocolate you can have. You can have X-Lax. Yeah. Dave, what are you giving up?
Well, since this was your initial suggestion...
Yes.
Wine.
What?
Oh.
What?
Dave, don't do it.
Dave's being drastic.
This may be more drastic than Kevin's fast food.
No, just...
Hold on a second. There's a guy that runs Benny's crying on the phone.
Wait
right
a minute, though. Wait.
I qualified it.
He said wine. He didn't say all hooch.
Oh, yeah.
He's still on the
still
liquors.
A step.
But you drink a lot of wine.
A lot of vodka.
Well.
Yeah. Hasn't California been through enough with the drought? Now they got to shut down the wine business?
It's this is a crushing blow to Northern California.
This is unbelievable.
And the Oregon wine country.
All right. These are serious sacrifices. Then.
Okay.
Big time.
Yeah. Mary and I are off the candy, Jones. All right, Dean, what is it?
I'm stopping carbs after 4 p.m.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
After 4 p.m. because supposedly your body can't metabolize the carbs, before you go to bed.
I believe that.
So, just have six bags of chips at lunch.
Right. So 3:59. Look out.
3:59. He's going to be killing a steer.
He's eating a pizza.
Yeah. No, the carbs. I'm.
Oh, I said protein.
I'll have my face in a big pile of pasta.
Yeah. There you go.
At 3:59 every afternoon. But I think I don't want to. It's unrealistic to say I'm not going to eat any carbs at all. But I think after 4 p.m., that's going to be tough.
You're listening to Realistic Resolutions, kind of.
I think the pattern that we're hearing here is that we are all have terrible eating habits.
We're all a mess. Look at Dave.
Except Kevin.
No, Dave, yours is more of a drinking habit.
It's not a habit.
He's already getting...
I have to give something up.
There's 12 steps, Dave. You ought to start on them soon to finish them.
He's already getting cranky. Wow, just talking about it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
See you tomorrow.
That's Dean. It's 8:31. We got to get to the big story. Kev, what am I doing to big story? Quick break. Back with that next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Hey, 8:40, we get to our pal Pat Tomasulo in just a second. Before we do that, though, I want to note with, it's always weird if you say you want to note with the sadness after attending a wake when you're not necessarily sad because this gentleman in particular had a hell of a life. Yesterday, we attended the wake of William J. Willie Roth, who passed away a few days ago. He's 91. And you spent a lot of time in Joliet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Joliet guy through and through. And I believe everyone in Joliet went through the line twice.
I believe that.
65 years married to the lovely Irene. And by the way, they're both GN lifers. Mm-hmm. They're big fans of the show and station. Six sons. Their son Jim and his wife Luann are good friends. 22 grandkids. Five great grandkids. And he's one of those guys, and Dave, I think you've heard me say this before, and I think you know this. Look, the bottom line is, the older you get, the more funerals you go to.
Yes.
And some are crushing. But some, you get to be 91. And a month ago, his family was telling me he was at his grandson's basketball game screaming at the refs. They were going, yeah, we thought we had to move him to a seat farther away from the court. A couple of weeks ago, he was Christmas shopping with his son. You know, and not long before that, his granddaughter was telling me he was kicking their butt at ping pong. I mean, yeah. he didn't miss much in life. He was a lieutenant in the Air Force, World War II, flew 25 bombing missions, then came back, and after going to Joliet Township High School and Joliet Junior College, after he came back from the war, he finished his education at Northwestern, where he became a business and finance guy, but he also played hoop there.
Go Cats.
Yeah, coached basketball for years. So he would have been playing basketball, Dave, in the 40s. You had only been on the case there like 10 years at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I vaguely remember.
Covered him. He was a huge golfer, too.
Yeah.
Big-time golfer.
Yeah, did you ever meet him?
Yeah. He was president of the Joliet Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When I went down there, yeah.
Yeah, really, really good guy.
I shouldn't say down there, yes.
And as I said, his son Jim and Jim's wife Luann, really good friends. But you know, when you meet children, you know what their parents were like. Yeah. Now these children happen to be grown-ups now with kids of their own. But before I met Jim's mom and dad, I knew they'd be solid people. Because, you know, you don't turn into a solid person if your parents are lunatics.
Usually not.
And Willie and Irene just you know, cut from that greatest generation cloth. And they build a beautiful family and a beautiful life together.
Good people.
But I'm telling you, 65 years with Irene, he was over his skis the entire time. I told him that when I saw him last summer.
Did you really?
Yeah. They asked me to come say hi to him at an anniversary party. And I stopped in, and I told him that. And I go, listen, man, I hope you don't blow this. It's only been 65
years. 65 years.
But a good man. And he will certainly be missed by his family. He will be laid to rest at the Lincoln Memorial Cemetery with full military honors.
Yeah. My uncle's buried there.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an amazing service.
It's a beautiful service, beautiful cemetery. Great final resting place. It's very beautiful and peaceful.
But aside from being happy that everybody who knew Mr. Roth got a chance to experience him, I don't want to sell short the fact that people are going to miss him because he's one of those guys that you wish you had more time with.
Yes.
So at any rate, our best to the Roth family and everybody who had the pleasure of knowing Willie Roth. And all those years. One of the guys in Joliet for all those years.
Without a doubt, a favorite son of the city of Joliet. He did so much for that city and for Will County.
So, and Dave, and if he was playing hoops in the 40s at Northwestern, who would he have been playing with?
I'm thinking that maybe he was playing with Otto Graham back then, who was not only a great football player, but an All-American basketball player, I believe.
How about that? Yeah. And as I said, big business and finance guy for many, 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 many years after that. That was his career. Built a family and his career is a big money guy.
There is something so nice, though, when you do go to a wake and everybody starts telling stories.
Well, everybody is happy.
Yeah.
You know?
And you laugh and just had a full life.
Yeah. So pretty great stuff. So our best to the Roths and the extended family and friends and everybody in Joliet. So how about my day yesterday? So in the morning, we go and see little Abigail, who's 2.5 weeks old. And in the afternoon, we say goodbye to Mr. Roth, who's 91. There's your circle of
there
life.
There it is, yeah.
Right?
Big time.
It's 8:45. Pat Tomasulo in just a moment with a very important event that he throws for the second straight year. And we want you to know about it. We want you to support it. First, traffic trouble spots with Mary on 720 WGN. Pat Tomasulo joins me now. He is at Pat Tomasulo on social media. And Pat is spelled the normal way, I assume?
Yeah, last I checked.
Tomasulo, Tomasulo.
How are you, buddy? I missed you on New Year's this year.
Yeah, I wish you were there. We actually introduced you and waited, but when you didn't come out.
Let me tell you, that is the best show I do. And I'm going to tell you why, because any show that starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is my kind of party.
That was the early show. We did the late show at 7.
That's too late for me.
That's
we
crazy,
that
Doug.
Late, the second show last year.
Oh, yeah.
We did, and I lasted the whole time.
Yeah, we weren't out of there until almost 10 o'clock.
Oh, well, I was gone beforehand. I was out of there. Was I out of there? All I know is the first one was at 3, and it was beautiful.
No, I made you stay to say to do the curtain call, and you looked at me like I had just killed your goldfish.
I thought I was getting out of there. No, but that was still awesome. Let me tell you, whoever came up with that idea for you to be done with a New Year's show by 10 o'clock is a genius, and you both need medals.
Well, you know, I think Tim Clue deserves a lot of credit, our old friend Tim Clue, because Tim's the guy that convinced me to start doing stand up again.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, let me tell you, for comedians.
You're doing the good stuff because your wife has been, and your beautiful wife, you meet Tomasulo's wife, you go, well, she's nothing wrong with this lady. She looks fine.
Yeah.
And
yet
every single day, your wife deals with a condition which until I met you, I'd never heard of.
Yeah. It's she suffers from a condition called trigeminal neuralgia, which is what many doctors refer to. They call it the worst pain known to mankind. Simply put, it's a disorder of a nerve in your face, the largest nerve in your face. And when people have problems with this nerve, it causes excruciating, debilitating, electric shock-like burning, stabbing pain in the face, and the triggers of which are many. A simple touch. I haven't touched my wife's left cheek in 14 years.
Now, when did she develop this?
It was about 15 years ago. It was probably about 6 months before we met. She just woke up one day to excruciating pain in her face. And then from that day forward, every day she's had it. There's been no reason for it. There's no cure for it. There are certain medications. None of them are good. You know, the side effects are horrendous, and none of them are used exclusively to treat trigeminal neuralgia. So there's not a lot of options. Some people find a little relief with the meds. Unfortunately, more often than not, they don't.
But there's no cure, right, Pat? I mean, there's no, hey, you know
no
what?
Cure.
Right.
There's no
still
cure.
Looking.
There's some people who find relief. There are some surgeries. Sometimes one of the reasons for it could be the nerve gets tangled up in a blood vessel. And sometimes if there's a compression, they can alleviate that compression. But that doesn't work for everybody. And for a lot of people, it's not permanent. You know, some people have had those surgeries and they've had relief. And then 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years later, it usually comes back, and it comes back much worse.
Well, what causes a flare-up? Any particular thing?
Well, you know, for her, there are triggers. Sometimes there are no triggers. Sometimes she's sitting at home and it just hits her. We were in the grocery store on Saturday and it just, you know, out of nowhere, just blasted her. But cold, wind, any touch, light touch, brushing your teeth, doing your makeup, fixing your hair, anything that will, you know, anything that would cause any kind of sensation on your skin can cause a flare-up. But again, a lot of times there are no triggers whatsoever. She can be sitting on the couch and, you know, just be leveled.
So when this first starts up, you guys are you're dating.
Yeah. Well, no, she had it before I met her. She got it about 6 years.
No, I'm not saying
that.
You caused it.
Yeah.
So when you're dating and this goes on, this is fascinating to me. Because a lot of guys would go, whoa, 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 I love you, but I can't be involved with this. I think it's a testament to how special she must be.
She is, she makes it easy. I could tell you that.
Well, she's got to be unbelievably tough.
I don't know how to be sincere like this at this time in the morning.
Well, especially with me. But she's got to be incredibly tough
to go through this. I mean, she is, and this isn't, I mean, there are some people, I mean, you know, she's unable to work, you know, she's, there are some days she can't be outside, she can't leave the home, and this isn't to diminish the struggle that a lot of people have with this, but how she is able, you know, I think my wife just has a pretty amazing threshold for pain, number one, you know.
Notice I'm avoiding saying what she's married to you.
That's not a testament to her fortitude, I don't know what is.
Yeah, but it's got to be very difficult for you to complain about getting up early around the house, I would think, with what she deals with.
I know I can still do that.
Oh, okay.
But other things I don't complain about as much.
Well, it's an amazing and ridiculous thing that she has to go through here.
Yeah.
So for the second year in a row, you're doing a fundraiser.
We are. We're doing a comedy show next Thursday at the Laugh Factory in Chicago called Laugh Your Face Off. 100% of the proceeds are going to the Facial Pain Research Foundation, which is, you know, to all of our knowledge, the only group in the world that's fully dedicated to finding a cure 100% of the money we raise goes to them. 99 cents of every dollar they raise goes to research. They're a strictly volunteer-based group. It's going to be me. It's going to be Rocky Laporte, who I think you just had, right?
Yeah, Rocky was there in New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Rocky, Andy Woodhull, who I think you know. Kevin Bowden, sure. Pat McGann is going to be stopping by.
It's a lineup.
Time as well. Yeah, it's a great lineup. We're going to have some food from 7 to 8. We got Tria Sorrell Catering is doing that for us. We got Johnny Vincent from Ditka's is singing for us from 7 to 8. We got incredible raffle prizes. We got somebody just donated an $1,800 diamond pendant. Holtzman's Jewelers in Lincoln Park just donated that to us. I mean, just a small, you know, family-owned business in the city donated that to us. I do want to say one thing, though. To get tickets, it's laughyourfaceoff.org. There is some verbiage on the Laugh Factory website when you go to buy tickets that says you might get standing room. You won't get standing room for this. It's all guaranteed seating, so if you buy a ticket, you will get a seat.
Oh, good.
The only way we would sell any of those standing room tickets are if we sell out, and then those would be discounted later on at the last minute anyway.
All right, so trust that you can get tickets and get a seat.
Yeah, there aren't a ton of tickets left. There are only about, I think, 40 tickets left.
Well, get them.
So get on there, laughyourfaceoff.org. It's next Thursday starting at 7 o'clock.
And my best to your wife, Amy. I say that every time, but obviously it's sincere. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
See you later. That's Pat Tomasulo. Still on the air over at Channel 9, but wanted to give him a chance to plug that.
I have to tell you, I saw Pat Tomasulo do stand-up at one of your comedy shows. Yeah, I think it was the New Year's Eve show last year. Hilarious. I mean, one of the after you guys, of course, after you and John and Rocky and Kevin.
It's not like we constantly need reinforcement. He's fine.
He is a riot, though.
Yeah.
Love seeing him
perform.
Well,
he doesn't have a lot of skill.
He's funny. So,
that's why he does sports.
Yeah. Sports and comedy.
I can say that.
It's 8:56. We'll come back with the news. And I want to give you a little bit of just a minute on what's going on out in Oregon before the news at the top of the hour. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. A couple of minutes before 9. The Dow's down how far?
Dow is down 347 points right now.
Steve,
this is because of all the turmoil in China.
Steve Grzanich, we'll have more on that at 9 o'clock. And the China markets overnight dropped 7%. There was some panic selling that went on. And because of that, there was a forced stop in trading, which Wall Street, of course, will do as well at times. Hopefully not very many times. There are some experts who are predicting a stock market crash, not a dip, a crash in February. Mm-hmm. But there's always the doomsday types. It doesn't mean we have to get there, but the world has an interconnected economy. When China goes down, we go down. And when we have issues, they have issues. And so it goes.
And the European indices were all down, too, all right. Between 2 and 3%, which is big.
China, the drag on that, too.
Yeah.
So the Oregon situation is a very bizarre story, but will continue. And before anybody jumps to a David Koresh outcome of this thing, there are some anti-government types in Nevada specifically who have gotten involved in a local issue in Oregon. And this is in rural Oregon. I don't know if this is near your relatives or your friends' relatives out there.
It's not too far. It's in Burns,
okay.
Which isn't too far.
And they're closer to Bend?
A little bit, yes. It's near Bend and Coos Bay.
So what happened is there's tons of ranches out there and ranch land. Mm-hmm. And a father-son combo in 2002, I think, and in 2005, had burned off some land, set fire and burned off some land. They claimed at the time that both of those fires were set specifically to avoid wildfires and to burn off encroaching problems in the grasses, whatever the creeping weed would be of the day.
We call them kind of controlled burns.
Controlled burns.
In the Midwest.
Now, it's adjacent. The fires were adjacent to a wildlife refuge.
Yes.
And this wildlife refuge, the authorities said, oh, no. You set the arson fire to cover up poaching because you were killing animals. And you were killing animals that you can't be killing. So they did a short jail term, the father and son did initially. They were resentenced because a judge took the case and said, that's not enough. So now they're both going to do 5 years, and I believe they're both supposed to report today. It's either 4 years or 5 years.
Yeah, it is five, you're right.
So the attorneys for both the father and son say, these people from Nevada have nothing to do with us. The people from Nevada that came in broke into the wildlife refuge and have been holed up in there now for 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. They are armed. So therefore, that makes them dangerous. They say they don't want a violent outcome of this, but they say they'll protect themselves. But they also haven't really said what they want.
That's the weirdest part. They said they're not going to budge until they get what they want, but they haven't outlined specific details of what they actually want to see done.
So this is the weirdness in this story. It'll continue throughout the day. You would hope census will come to somebody here and they'll walk out peacefully. Whether or not they'll be charged remains to be seen. But that's the story in Oregon. If you're trying to wrap your head around it, it's a little little bit layered. All right, news now, and let's get it on the newsroom. This is Chicago very own. This is what? This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Cars for Kids sponsors the news. Steve Grzanich has the details.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Asking you shall receive. A couple of weeks ago, before the holidays, I was complaining there were no pens in the studio, and I just said, send me a pen from your business, from your company. And over the weekend, I came in to open the mail, and there are literally thousands of pens that were sent in.
Yeah, I've never seen so many pens.
So let me run through a few of these. The Absorber from NCS Distribution and Clean Tools in Westmont. The Absorber, and I'm going to give this to you.
Oh, good, because I'm using
this
their
is
pen
a
too.
Highly absorbent towel.
Oh, excellent.
Apparently, one of the.
For with the
products.
Shower.
I don't know.
Or for my car. Oh, for when I.
For you and your car.
Yeah.
So, Tandem HR sent in pens. Hand and Shoulder Associates sent in pens. John Deere sent in a whole bunch of pens. Your friend and mine from the Better Business Bureau?
Oh, Steve Burness.
He sent in personally, it had to be 1,000 pens.
Did he drop those off, Kev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Very nice, yeah. I knew he would.
Let's see.
Send pens.
Steve, heard the bit on the air before Christmas regarding office supplies, none in the studio. 5 staplers, 3 tape dispensers, 14 highlighters, no pens. It is with pleasure that I send you a pen from our humble little low power, all volunteer, nonprofit community radio station, WVMO, the voice of Monona.
Cool.
We just signed on this past summer after waiting 10 years for the FCC. Our leadership, after decking out our beautiful studio with some impressive equipment, including 2 shiny new turntables. They have turntables.
That's cool. Wow. Probably cart machines, too.
And professional automation purchased a box of promotional pens. So far, we still have more in our studio than you do in yours.
I believe it.
I've been a WGN listener since Uncle Bobby did afternoons. Great to hear you guys in the morning. Welcome back. Carol Horning, volunteer traffic manager there, sent us a pen.
Very cool. We should keep that one. We're keeping these, right? We're not giving these away.
Well, no, they're going to be stolen by people on staff. I mean, that's what always happens.
Over or under for how many days until all the pens are gone?
Well, I just put about 100 in this drawer. I'm guessing they're gone by Wednesday.
Maybe March.
From the Foster and Buick Law Group in Sycamore. Steve, I'm a loyal listener, and when you mentioned the number of staplers and highlighters you have in your desk and no pens, I felt the need to help out. And close, please find pens for everybody on the morning show from the Foster and Buick Law Firm. Yeah. I mean, you know,
got a lot of those.
The perks of show business. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
Dear Steve, listening this morning, heard your call for pens. You probably received this package after Christmas. Hope you all had a great holiday. I hide my pens so they can't steal them. Think about it. I think the only thing she's missing there is think about it, Einstein. Steve, per your request, I'm attaching 6 pens from Tandem HR. It's a payroll and HR company in Westchester. Our company info is printed on the pens. Thanks for the plug.
You know what? We should have WGN pens. Don't you think now maybe marketing should come up with, we can have our own pens?
And send them out to listeners?
Yeah. Kind of like a trade. You know, you give us a pen, we'll give you one.
From the Illinois Institute of Diving.
IID.
IID. This morning I was listening to your show. I had to stay in the car and listen to the whole thing. I love that about your show. You let everyone know that these things don't just happen to them. We all are missing pens. No one should be without pens. Oh, I just sent you all of mine. Now I don't have any pens.
Wait, we could send him a stapler. Unless you gave all those away.
From Patricia McCampbell. Listening to your show every morning. Hope you're having a great holiday with your new grandchild. And she sent a whole bunch of pens. I mean, it goes on and on. Look at this. Steve, I tutor English and Japanese families. Happy penning from Wanda. This one's kind of pink. You should have that.
Oh, this is cool. Yeah, I like this one.
The Palos Heights Police Department sent us pens, carpenter pencils, and tchotchkes as well. Here, Dave, I'd like you to have a ruler from the police department.
Here, Dave.
Oh, thank you. I can always use a ruler.
You know, Dave, you could set that down and see if you can walk on a straight line so when they stop you, you'd be able to know.
No, he's giving up he's giving up liquor, remember?
Giving up wine.
No, wine.
Oh, sorry, wine.
But
I don't want to be drastic.
That would never be an issue. I would never be driving.
Sorry, Dave.
So that's not even an issue.
Of course it's not, Dave. What was I saying? I don't know. I take it back, whatever it was I was saying.
Walk the line.
Exactly. Let's see. The American Family Insurance folks, the Steve Kiesler Agency. Thank you, Steve, very much for that. I mentioned Tandem HR. How about the Sprinter Mercedes-Benz of Hoffman Estates?
Ooh, that's a nice pen.
Mercedes-Benz of Hoffman Estates. Is Sprinter the pen?
That's a cool pen.
Okay, well, here, you can have that one.
No, look, you know, Wanda, the pen you gave me, the pink pen, it says Ms. Wanda on it.
Nice.
So, and her number, so we can always call her and get more pink pens. These are cool.
And the Palos Heights Police Department really did us up. I mean, they sent a bunch of stuff in. We also got, you know, other tchotchkes and things over the Christmas holiday, some of which are off air and really can't be mentioned on the air. Motorworks, the commercial vehicle sales manager, Robert Sullivan, for motorworks.com. Thank you for that. Steve, heard your plea for pens this morning. Happy to provide them. We'll keep listening from the Steve Kiesler Agency that I just mentioned. Charlie said, I've been listening since 1966. It's been number one for me and number one for Chicago forever. But Charlie says since 1966, he never heard anyone else whine about pens, so he sent some pens. And so it goes. And there were some other folks who sent some really nice stuff in for Ross and Lauren. Check this out.
Baby gifts?
Yeah. That is an American Girl doll. I don't know if you can see it on the video stream. An American Girl doll T-shirt that a woman made specifically out of the GN logo, the old logo.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Nice. It says Chicago's News and Talk.
Right.
The old logo. Yeah.
So making those, very cool. And that, by the way, is from Nancy. It says, I know your granddaughter hadn't arrived yet when I got this. If someone else has an old collection of T-shirts that aren't worn anymore and can't be thrown away, I can make an Afghan, 12-inch images cut from the T-shirt, all work. Anyway, if anybody, look at this beautiful blanket.
Those are so hard to
That's so cool. And you know what? Abigail has a little headband, too. Did you see this? There's a headband, too.
Oh, in there?
Mini WGN logo.
Will it fit me?
I doubt that. You need about six to fit you.
Mindy Kaplan.
A lot of elastic.
Mindy Kaplan, the Kaplan we like.
Yeah, from Lou Malnati's.
Yeah, warm wishes for a holiday season. Love giving you guys the pizza from the extended Malnati family. Mindy's a big deal with the Malnati folks, has been forever. There's a couple more here.
When we go off of our diets, we'll have to all have Lou Malnati's to celebrate.
Well, they're not really diets. You know, we're just giving stuff up, right? The Cregans sent some stuff in. Thank you very much for that. And did I mention the Mercedes-Benz folks?
Yeah, here's the pen. It is a nice pen.
Yeah, I mean, I open these as fast as I possibly can here. But I think this kind of sums it up. Steve, I was saddened and moved by the thoughtless and cruel distribution of office supplies to your studio. Mm-hmm. I'm compelled to write this holiday season, if nothing else, to let you know you're not alone. There are millions of us who silently suffer alongside you, burdened with unwanted staplers and tape dispensers.
Did he send anything?
Our most basic needs going unnoticed by office controllers throughout the world. It's a pain we all have to endure. When I heard your plea for situationally appropriate office supplies, it became a statement, then a scream, and is now, as it shall ever be, a war cry for all of us.
Huh, what'd he send?
To hell with most of your staplers. To hell with the tape dispensers. We will not be lulled to sleep with six highlighters, four of which are always pink. Pens! We want pens!
So he didn't send anything?
No, he did. He sent pens. Also some Post-it pads as well, and not the tiny ones. Robert Sullivan. Very funny guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. We're framing that bad boy. Thank you all, everybody. And that is just a handful of the stuff that came in. And I'll try to get to the rest as the week rolls on. At 9:18, who is the Hawks replay sponsored by, Kev?
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Oh, we love it. And when the Hawks win, you get the whole deal.
The Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks open up 2016 on home ice and take on an Ottawa Senators club that beat them in overtime up in Canada's capital back a month ago. Garden there. The Taves left corner. Wiped out with a check from Borowiecki, but got the puck back on the left boards to Keith at the line. Suzuki scores! Duncan Keith didn't waste a second. Took that pass from Taves and hammered it past Anderson. And the Hawks finally take the lead on the Ottawa Senators. It's 1-0 Hawks. The draw. Carlson at the left point, moves the puck to the right point. Ryan to the high slot. Carlson lets it rip, and down is Crawford with a butterfly save.
That just missed going in the net.
Carlson right point. Fires a wrist shot. Crawford a butterfly save. Loose puck in front, stroke away. And now here's McCormick with a handoff. And a big save made by Crawford on McCormick's point-blank shot from next to the net. Here's Panarin trying to shake the check of Jean-Gabriel Pageau and does to Kane right wing board. So Roosevelt at the line, deep slot to Kane. To Roosevelt moving into the left circle. Shoots! Off the mask, rebound, score! Artem Anisimov was at the top of the Ottawa crease. And as that shot came in from Roosevelt, Anderson made the save, but there was Anisimov with about two-thirds of a minute to shoot at, and he didn't miss. It's 2-0 Hawks. McCormick into the Hawk zone. To the left wing corner to Pageau, to McCormick behind the net. Put it out to Weidman, right point. Fires a shot, look out! Oh, and Van Riemsdyk tried to block the puck. It redirects in on Crawford, and Crawford has to scramble and stop that puck to the right of his net. He holds the puck, and we get a whistle stopping play. But that was a very difficult save for Corey Crawford to have to make. Carlson racing back to get it. Lost it to Desjardins along the left board. To Dano, left point. To Desjardins. Shoots! He scores! Andrew Desjardins with his fourth goal in three games. It's into an empty Ottawa net. And this will seal the deal for the Hawks. With 47 seconds left in the third period, the Hawks now lead 3-0. Rinse back to get it. Moves it over to Claesson. He'll move it ahead to the Hawk line on the left wing from McCormick. Puts it in over the line. It doesn't matter. In his 300th NHL game, Corey Crawford picks up his 18th career shutout and the sixth of this season to take the NHL lead among NHL goaltenders in shutouts as the Hawks beat the Ottawa Senators here tonight 3-0.
The Four Tops may meet again this week. Sure they will. Durkin, Redonio, Cullerton, Madigan, and the governor. I talked to the governor this morning, and Andre and I were both asking the governor about these meetings and how tough it is to get anybody to show up.
It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, it's about the politics and positioning for some of the folks on the other side. It's not about what's good policy and what's right. And the reality is we do need some bipartisan compromises. I'm willing to compromise. I'm not going to demand everything that I want to see. There's a lot of changes we need in the state. I'm willing not to get even the majority of them day one. But we've got to change. Well, if all we do is put in a massive tax hike and nothing else, more businesses will leave. More people. We lost 100,000 people last year who could choose what state to live in, and they left net. And that's been going on for years. We've got to change direction. And whether it's term limits, redistricting reform, local control on bargaining and bidding to bring down property taxes, property tax freeze, if we can't change some of these things to indicate that we're going in a different direction, we will be lost. And that's what I've got to convince the speaker. Be willing to compromise.
Governor, the spring session doesn't start until January 13th, but I guess many, including State Representative Jack Franks, are saying that a budget deal wouldn't even take place until after the primary. Would you ever consider calling him in earlier or into a special session?
Well, we'll be meeting. The General Assembly will be meeting starting January 13th. It's a question of when will they take tough votes. The Speaker is reluctant to put, certain members of his caucus on bills right now if they could be if they could lose their primary as a result. And he's also worried that if they take some tough votes, some members of his caucus might lose their general elections in November. The reality is, sometimes we've got to stick, all of us, got to stick our necks out and take some tough votes, regardless of the short-term consequences. We've got to stop. Bottom line in Illinois, everybody's been focused on the next election for years, not the next generation. We've got to make some decisions that help the next generation in Illinois. That's the bottom line.
And the people that aren't funded now by the state are in great pain over this, and pain that worsens every day. Has Mr. Cullerton been more cooperative on this?
He has. He's been more flexible. That's been true all the way since last spring. The Speaker has, brought him back in forcefully sometimes from time to time. Both the President and the Mayor have been more creative and flexible and willing to come up with some compromises. So far, the Speaker's shown absolutely zero interest in any sort of compromise. The focus is on getting the income tax up to 5%.
We're both going to run out of time here before we do. The Speaker's constant refrain is that you want to bust unions. Do you, Governor Rauner, want to break the unions apart and end unions in Illinois?
Absolutely not. That's pure poppycock. It's a bunch of bull. Here's what I'm asking is let local communities decide how they run their communities, their cities, their counties, their school districts. Many elected officials would agree with the speaker. They want to spend more when they build things through prevailing wage. They want higher property taxes because the government unions deserve better compensation or better pensions. Fine, keep it. I'm not changing that at all. All I'm saying is don't have Springfield mandate what happens, requires what happens. Let each community decide for themselves. Some might agree with the speaker. Terrific. Some will agree with me. I know because I hear from them every day. Let each community decide. That's all I'm asking.
And what happens now is the governor stands by what? The bat phone and waits for the call? Steve Brown said when Madigan wouldn't come on, and Steve Brown did, which was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, that he's going to do his darndest to get Madigan on.
Yeah, that hasn't
happened. Mike Madigan's welcome here anytime, as is the Queen of England. The Queen of England right now, Vegas odds makers say better shot.
I would probably agree with that. Legislative session does begin on the 13th, but the governor does have the right to call them in early. May or may not do that.
If you care about this and you would like the state to actually have a budget and stop the movement of people out of the state, the movement of businesses out of the state, you got to let your elected reps know. The LaShawn Ford push to have a recall provision on the mayor of Chicago will have more traction this week as well as they take it around the state to town halls and things. There are municipality provisions where a lot of local towns and communities can already figure out a way to do this without state help.
Right.
Help in quotes. I don't know that you can get this done on a statewide level where it only affects Chicago.
Yeah, and put it in effect before the term expires, which is 3 years down the road. So it could happen. It's not too likely.
But that's another thing that'll be you'll be hearing about a fair amount at least this week. The only recall in the state provision right now is for the governor.
Correct.
All right, it's 9:30. We'll come back, get your big story in a second, and Orion Samuelson will have your business at that point on 720 WGN.
WGN Chicago.
But now we got a scrap. Takes a couple of right hands.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Hawks win!
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
What's the Go Blackhawks?
I'm John Weideman. Troy Murray and I will have the puck drop for you at 6 o'clock.
Blackhawks play tomorrow night on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
It's 9:31. The news, in this case, the big story, sponsored by Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinics. And by the way, Andrea, the Governor Rauner interview is up in full as a podcast now, where all of our podcasts sit at WGNRadio.com on the app through TuneIn and every other place you can find a podcast. You can likely find the show. Again, sponsored by Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinics.
None on that. They've waited a long time for this to be at home. Slipped in front and Crawford another block. Five to go. For the third time in 6 years, the Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions.
You collect anything? Dave, how about you?
Photos.
Photos?
I have so many pictures.
I collect great sportscasters.
Really?
Yeah, great broadcasters. Dave, you're in my collection.
Am I? I didn't know that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Steve, I'm honored.
Do you put them in a little curio cabinet?
Well, I guess it's kind of a symbolic thing. I couldn't actually take them hostage. But Doc Emrick is certainly one of the greatest of all time, and there's nobody better. Nobody better. And, you know, it's so cool when you meet somebody, as we did with Doc several years ago now. But he's just as good a guy. You know what I mean? I mean, you meet a guy like Doc Emrick, you go, oh, man, I hope he's a decent... He's better than better than a decent guy. And, you know, Eddie's no good.
Oh,
no,
Eddie's a great guy. Oh, I love Eddie. Oh, that's my not-so-secret crush.
I don't know. It's something about hockey. I mean, there's just something about hockey. The guys in professional sports, I will take hockey players, hockey organizations, hockey coaching staffs, almost to a fault over all the other professional sports. Just decent people. Doc Emrick joins us now from somewhere on the road. Boy, what a smoochy introduction that was for you.
It was.
Happy New Year. And Eddie Olczyk will undoubtedly give up alcohol in the new year because he gave it up all his life. So I guess he's not sacrificing like Dave is.
No, Dave.
Oh, come on.
It's amazing. Dave can still call the games.
Chocolate is significant, though. I had planned to send you a 5-pound Hershey bar because I was in Hershey on the 20th December, and I guess I can't do that now.
Is there anything?
February 1st. What if it arrives February 1st along with a set of about 100 pens?
You know what? That's a big day for us. That is a really big day. Now, you and your wife live in what part of Michigan? Is it the northern part of the state?
Yeah, we live in the Thumb area. So we're at one of the knuckles of the Thumb. We're about a mile from Canada. Near a town called Port Huron,
okay.
A little town of our own called St. Clair. So we're watching the snow come down today, and I can get WGN on the car radio, and I've had you on off and on since early this morning.
Well, you're good,
man. It's fun listening. No, it's fun listening for me, and I have the station on quite a bit just because you guys are hilarious.
Well, no, you're a good man. I appreciate it. You know what a hockey nut I am, and I just can't get enough of you, man. I just can't get enough of you calling the games. And what I hope everybody saw the Real Sports piece that was done in December on Doc, and it was a nice feature on you, but also on some of the people you're closest to. But I thought it was some nice insight into how you do your day. I mean, you really spend a lot of time getting ready for every game, like you will for the Hawks in Pittsburgh in a couple of days.
Yeah, you know, and Dave does the same thing with Northwestern and all of his assignments too, and it's fun for us, and that's part of the reason why it's not really work. I mean, the idea of going over the rink in the morning and attending the skates for 2 hours, and everybody's in a pretty good mood most of the time. You were alluding to hockey guys. I've not worked the other sports much, but I know our people are great characters, and they're always in a good mood. So it's a very pleasant work atmosphere to have, and especially when you guys set up shop and it's June over there and you guys are in the UC in the afternoon, well, it's even more fun than that. And who's to argue that you aren't going to be doing that in June this year? I don't make predictions because I'm terrible at it. I trust Eddie for horses, but don't trust me for hockey because I had Columbus winning the Metropolitan Division this year, and I don't think that's going to happen. Well,
it's a little rough start for him, I think, yeah.
It was a little bit, yeah.
We'll go along with that. That sounds good. But, Doc, it almost seems like there's a certain fraternity among people in hockey, and maybe a feeling when you go to the rink, it's a little bit different than maybe in other sports. There's something shared there, and it's kind of hard for me to put my finger on it, but am I on the right track?
Yeah, you are, Dave. I think there's the overriding feeling, and it's not an inferiority complex. It's just that we're all in this together because we all like our sport, and we like it a lot. And we realize that despite Chicago and how overwhelmingly popular it's become in the last 7 or 8 years here again, that it's not overwhelmingly popular universally in the country. And so we just plow our way through to try and make it that way and to hope that we can attract other people with events like the Winter Classic. And our executive producer, Sam Flood, always tells us whenever it's the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final, a Winter Classic, or any game in the Olympics, you treat the audience like it's brand new, and you realize that you're not insulting the intelligence of loyal hockey fans by starting with some basics, not icing an offside, but some basics and hoping that you'll catch a few more people with this sport. I think that's what unites us, is we all love it, and we all want more people to love it, too. We're sort of, in quotes, evangelicals for our sport.
Do you accept the compliment that you are the Vin Scully of hockey?
I'd rather that people say that. I have my hat size when I wear a pirate hat is 7.5, and it shouldn't be 9. And I really do appreciate what people say, but there are a lot of people that really put their energy into making this sport go, and I'm just one of them. And I'm glad if people appreciate what I do. I just am thankful that I get to do it every day.
By the way,
I'm giving up bread for January, and that's huge for me.
Wow. How about that?
Eddie will tell you that's huge for me. Neither of us are giving up Cold Stone, though.
Well, see, neither one of you have to. In my case, it's a different thing. So as hockey goes, there is a sense, after the strike in 04, I thought, okay, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in professional sports. This is the fourth of the majors. NASCAR is breathing down hockey's neck. You could argue the hockey had already been kicked out of the top four. And then you have the labor action. And then you have another one later on. And I'm thinking, well, this is awful. There's no question the Blackhawks resurgence has led to a huge new interest in the sport and probably primarily to this nice new TV deal. But am I crazy, or is this as good as hockey has felt on a national level since, I don't know, the 70s or maybe early 80s?
I don't know. I think the feel is probably as good as it's been since the mid-90s. And
you
pinpointed that 94, and you know, keep in mind that we had a baseball strike looming in the fall of 94, and then, of course, we went out on a lockout. And you talk about timing. The New York Rangers, and Eddie was a member of that team that won a Stanley Cup. They had just won the Stanley Cup. There was a tremendous amount of interest across the country at that time. Maybe not so much in Chicago at the time, but there was across the nation. That was enhanced by the fact that they had won. So I sensed that there was some then, and of course it petered out because all of a sudden there was no hockey in the fall. There was no World Series, but there was no start to a hockey season until January. But this sense I think I have is the ratings have never been higher for regular season games or for playoffs. I think the Blackhawks have fueled that. The fact that Los Angeles has a strong team in the second largest market, the fact that the Rangers have been to the Stanley Cup Finals a couple of times, all of those things have made a difference in the perception of hockey and how far it's spread. So I think you're right. And I said this once on the station a few months ago, and as I look at the standings and all of this, and you have the leading scorer, the leading rookie scorer, the guy that's got the most shutouts of anybody in the league right now, all on one team, you've got one of the best power plays and one of the top 10 penalty kills in the league. This is Camelot in Chicago right
now. Amen.
And it's a great time to be a Chicago Blackhawks fan. And as you look ahead and you see who's signed long term, there's no reason to think that this is not going to continue for a while.
Yeah, Mr. McDonough and Blunk. And,
yeah, I'm not going to sell jerseys, but if you want to go get one, I think you're going to be proud wearing it for a while.
Well, and of course, it's the greatest logo in sports. You're going to do the Pittsburgh game. Yeah. Are you doing both of them, or you're doing a Wednesday night game, right, the game of the week?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Of course, Troy and John will do them both, and Pat and Eddie will be out in Pittsburgh on Tuesday, and then Eddie and I will work together with Pierre on Wednesday. But both of these are going to be, I think, wonderful games because Pittsburgh is back to the Pittsburgh that we knew a year ago. They've won 4 of 6. Crosby scoring again after a long lull when he wasn't. And so this team can be dangerous to handle as opposed to being a team that other teams rolled over like they did up until the 1st of January. They made a coaching change, and sometimes that does things. They lost the first 4 under the new coach, and now they've shaped it up and won 4 of 6. So it'll be fun to watch the next 2.
Crosby scoring again, but I always wondered if he was ever going to be right again after those multiple concussion long layovers where he was, you know, off the ice. And, of course, we talk about CTE and concussions and all that all the time now, but I've not seen him play all year. It sounds like his game is back for the most part.
Well, yeah, but is it with the same old verve that we saw before the concussions? My perception is not. Is it a good game? Yes. Is it the same freewheeling kind of game? Not yet. Will it get there? I hope so, because it was fun to watch and it was a challenge for teams to play against. But that same sort of dominance and energy hasn't returned yet. Sure hope it does, but we have the same problems in our sport that the others do. Whenever you have a collision sport, you're going to have concussions. It's just the way it is. There were guys that played years ago that are Blackhawks alums now that will probably tell you that they played with them 5, maybe 6 concussions, didn't know about it. And at that time, you were just told you got your bell rung, get back out there. And no one was the wiser.
Right.
But we know a lot more now, so we can take care of things better.
Doc, for those who might not have been paying attention, where have the Florida Panthers come from?
It's amazing, isn't it? It's a fun story, too, especially since they're not in the Blackhawks division. They can kind of watch and see what's going on the other side. They won 9 in a row. They've got an old guy named Jaromir Jagr who's got 13 goals. Roberto Luongo's in goal, and he's making remarkable stops. Some nights they're playing to half a house down in Sunrise, but it doesn't affect the team. And the team is in, you know, I know the Central Division is one of the most powerful divisions, but this one is probably the most even in terms of teams that are battling. A week ago, there were 5 teams separated by 2 points. But then the Panthers just took over after the Christmas break, and they just have won everything since then. And they've opened up a very sizable lead.
Unbelievable.
And so the Panthers are enormous.
And with my old buddy Brian Campbell. Mm-hmm. Brian Campbell, by the way, who's Brian Campbell, who's 77 years old and still the fastest guy coming from the back.
Yeah, you'll remember Dale Talon, too, who's running the operation
there. Absolutely. Well, you're the best, and we always love having you on. I look forward to seeing you at the Madhouse, and love you and Eddie on the NBC Sports Network and the weekends on the Big Net as well.
Thank you so much. And Abigail Grace looks like she could be a good skater.
How about that? Well done, Doc. You're the best.
What a wonderful picture.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
She has a cool Stanley Cup t-shirt, too.
Yeah.
Onesie.
Amy Cochran picked it up.
Yeah.
Doc asked if I had a onesie like that for me. All right, Doc, be well. Can you imagine a onesie in my size? I don't think so.
It'd be like a big pajamagram.
It'd be really wrong if you go into the baby store and you go, do you have that in a big and tall? I don't think so. Yeah. I need a double X onesie. No, they don't have that.
They do make onesies now for men, for grown men. It's like a fad.
Doesn't make it right.
I know.
What?
How great is Doc?
He's the best.
He's
awesome.
He's very nice to you, Dave.
He was.
Yeah. Well, he's a nice man.
Yeah, but I just wanted to remind you because you may have had one of your blackouts during the interview.
I should have gotten hammered.
Not after tomorrow.
Not exactly what I need. Doc Emmerich, Hall of Fame announcer. First words are, well, Dave's giving him wine.
Great.
He's the best. And so are you, Dave. You know that. It's 9:52. Bill and Wendy are back after this on 720 WGN. Daisy Driss. Happy birthday, Daisy. Chicago woman turned 109 on New Year's Day.
109?
Yep. She had brunch at Ann Sather's on Belmont. Relatives brought her some flowers and a wrist corsage. Beautiful lady.
So she saw the Cubs win the World Series the last time. Right? 108 years?
Well, she was alive.
Yeah, she was alive.
Yeah, so it would have been what? 100? She just turned 109 New Year's Day. So that she was born in 06 or 07? 07, I guess, because she turned 109 on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
So 07. And the Cubs won in 07 and 08?
Cubs won in 08.
08 and 09. There were two in a row.
Well, last time they won was 08.
08. Yeah. So she was a year old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look at it this way. She was 5 when the Titanic sunk.
There you go.
Huh? So you got that. She was 12 when World War One ended.
You know, it's funny, if you could ask her, hey, do you remember that? No, I was a baby.
Right.
I was 5. I was 1.
38 when World War II ended.
38.
How about this? She was 56 when Kennedy was assassinated. 109.
That's
awesome. And she looks fabulous. Her great-grandniece says several of Driss' 8 sisters lived to be in their 90s. And the family has joked that she lived the longest because she and her late husband never had any kids to drive her nuts.
Okay, that could be true.
The only regret she has is she recently had to stop going to the symphony because she can't hear as well as she used to. Wow, what a great story. She credits God, who says has control over everything. She doesn't have a list of do's and don'ts on how you should get to 109 yourself. But she's here. She's happy. She's 109.
She doesn't have any, you know, drink a martini a day or...
Does she eat chocolate?
No. Yes. So can we break it? 109 years old. So take a look at that lady.
Good for her.
It's your present.
Oh, she looks great.
Beautiful lady. So happy birthday, Daisy. All right, we got to get Bill and Wendy in here next on 720 WGN.